American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. We're excited that you're all joining us today. It's good to be with you, of course. A lot happening in the world. President Trump in Asia right now, and we're following the very latest. And when he does speak to the media, we will bring that to you throughout today's show. But I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you weren't like me in keeping up with the news cycle. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I had a little bit of fun, but then we went back to the news beat because, folks, a lot happening all around the world. Like I said, President Trump in Asia right now. He's negotiating trade deals all across the region. Most importantly, he's going to be meeting with the leader of the CCP on Thursday, Xi Jinping. That is expected to happen again on Thursday. And it should be really interesting. I'll be detailing you the very latest, though, on the trade war, of course. But also, we got our eye on food stamps because so many people are outraged because food stamps are likely going to be cut off on November 1st due to the government shutdown. Now, folks, I was absolutely shocked when I learned that there are over literally 43 million Americans on food stamps right now. That's according to the latest data coming out of the USDA. And also, just to put that in perspective for you at home, I believe the latest number is something like 1 in 8. So a lot of people relying on food stamps in this country. If there's anything good that comes from this government shutdown, hopefully it's that we could start weeding people off of it. There's no reason for that many Americans to be on the program, of course, if you're somebody who is disabled, yes. But if you're someone who's just refusing to go to work, no. You need to be working. You need to be functioning. You need to be able to pass the drug test. Remember that, those days when we used to advocate for that. So it's very, very interesting to sit back and watch as those on TikTok are sounding off because they're upset that their food stamps are about to be cut off. Now, this is long overdue. This is how we start purging the wasteful spending from our government. Those who don't need food stamps who are capable of going out to work need to be put back and forced back into the workforce. And so hopefully, if one good thing could come from all of this, it will be that. Now, of course, that's not happening until the 1st of November. So we're going to sit back and wait for that. President Trump and the USDA also announcing again that that is very likely going to happen. We got a lot going on, though, around the world today. We're going to be joined by one of the great guests who does a great job at covering a bunch of stories for us over at Infowars.com. Raw Egg Nationalist is joining the program later today. We'll also be taking your calls later in the show. But a lot of stories to dive into, a lot of things that you may have not seen that I want to make sure are on your radar, of course. And I'm going to sound off because everyone's very comfortable now talking about Zohran Mamdani. I see all of like the corporate talking media heads, those who call themselves conservatives, now coming out and giving you all these sound bites. These people are now finding it convenient to hit the communist, of course. They need to make sure they weren't going to be called any type of mean names for going after the Muslim candidate. So they waited till the very last second to jump in and lend their voice to this movement. So now everyone's focused on the New York City mayoral race, but the reality of it is it's long overdue. You should have said something sooner. It's very likely that he's going to be taking over. There's nothing that you could do. Those who are sitting there saying, oh, we need to take away his citizenship. You can't do that. We're not going to do that. President Trump already said he's not going to touch the New York City mayoral race within like literally the next few weeks. He said that. These people were such cowards, they didn't want to speak out on the issue, but now that it's safe, now that everyone's talking about it, they are. So we're going to talk about that on today's show, because I've had enough of these cowards who claim to be Republicans, claim to be conservatives, are making a ton of cash, but they don't want to appear to be fringe, because that apparently is fringe. But now it's mainstream to criticize him, so they have jumped on board, of course, because Zohran Mamdani has offended those, obviously, Americans who do care about 9/11, and so now they're jumping on board. Maybe you should have jumped on board sooner. Maybe that would have helped. So I've got a lot of sound off on this beautiful Monday morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. Folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com, right now. We just launched the Android version, and it's how you stay in touch with us. If they do lock those front doors, that is how you stay in touch with our next venture. So head on over to the alexjonesapp.com right now. And make sure you do just that. Also, when you do that, you're going to get 20% off to use at the store. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com as well. Got a bunch of great products that you guys can go purchase now to keep us up and running and help fund our very next venture. So head on over and do just that.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big...
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. I am Brianna Morello. We're excited that you're all joining us today. It is a beautiful, glorious Monday morning and a lot happening all around the world. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. I hope you had a good time. I hope you did something fun, didn't pay attention to the news cycle. That's why you tune in on Mondays, to catch you up on everything that you miss. And so we're excited that you're all here. Of course, I got a lot done, met up with some incredible people, even got to head over to a Chad Prather comedy show over in Dallas over the weekend, which was great to do. And it was great to see him, of course. Very, very fun weekend for me. But we've got a lot to dive into because President Trump, well, I mean, I wouldn't say his weekend was very fun. He has been traveling and he's now in Asia and he's been going through a lot over there. Trying to negotiate trade deals, obviously trying to continue his peace deals that he has been pushing for. So we're going to be covering that on today's show. I'll also be joined later in the program by Raw Egg Nationalist. He does a bunch of great reporting for us over at Infowars.com. He's joining the show this beautiful morning. I can't speak. It's Monday. This beautiful Monday morning. To break down the very latest reports that he's been working on for Infowars.com. So it'll be good to have him on today. Also, according to the president and USDA, it looks like if you're someone who's receiving welfare benefits, food stamps, the SNAP program, if you're receiving any benefits from that, yeah, probably we'll have an issue November 1st. It's very, very likely that you will not receive your food stamps. And a lot of people are upset. They're very unhinged about this on social media. I was shocked to learn that 1 in 8 Americans is currently on the SNAP program. I mean, how insane is that? 1 in 8. It's one thing if it's someone who is unable to work. It's one thing if it's a mother who is abandoned and is a single parent now. I mean, there's really just no excuse for why so many Americans should be on these programs. A lot of them are taking to social media, and these are the specific ones I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the ones that actually do need benefits. I'm talking about the ones who are taking advantage of the system, those who are reproducing just to garner a couple more dollars every month on these benefits. Those individuals have been taking to TikTok, sounding off and going off and getting very threatening, we'll say. They're threatening violence if their benefits are cut off. But the reality of it is it's long overdue. You're an able-bodied American, you're just sitting at home collecting benefits, it's time for you to go back to work. So if there's one good thing that could come from these shutdowns, hopefully it is that. Now, folks, let's take a look at what President Trump has been working on, because President Trump, again, has been in Asia, and we're trying to follow everything the president's been doing. He's expected to meet with the leader of the CCP, Xi Jinping, on Thursday. We will, of course, be following just that. But when it comes to the trade war, he's signing deals and he's pushing for peace. And he did just that. I wanted to play clip one for you because President Trump is detailing what he signed specifically and how he's using these trade deals to force nations to stop bickering and get to the table and push for peace. Take a listen.
Well, this is so exciting because we did something that a lot of people said couldn't be done. And we saved maybe millions of lives on this one peace deal itself. And I'll tell you what makes me so happy is the two countries we're dealing with and the third that helped so much. I appreciate so much. Maybe it couldn't have been done without you, but they really like each other. I'm not used to that when I do these deals. Usually there's a lot of hatred. They liked each other. So it made it a little bit easier. But millions of people are alive today because of this peace treaty. Today, alongside this peace treaty, we also are signing a major trade deal with Cambodia and a very important critical minerals agreement with Thailand. The United States will have a robust commerce and cooperation transactions, lots of them, with both nations as long as they live in peace. And I really feel that when we make deals, we see two countries that we do a lot of business with. We do a lot of business with both of them. We have to use that business to make sure they don't get into wars. But this is going to be a very long peace.
President Trump again pushing for peace, and it's long overdue. It's interesting to see how all of this was possible. All it took a little bit of was like a little elbow grease, and here you go. So President Trump working his very best in the region. But like I mentioned, you guys, we're going to be covering it as he deals with China soon. Obviously, this is going to be heavily publicized, would be the best way to describe it, because, you know, they've met before in the past, but tensions are extremely high. President Trump making it very, very clear that he will not be Joe Biden. He will be not bought off by the CCP. And he will hold their feet to the fire. So it's going to be interesting to see. Now, the U.S. obviously is meeting to address the rare earth minerals issue that we have going on right now. Plus, also, they're looking to address the up to 157% on Chinese goods tariffs. Now, obviously, both sides are looking to fix those issues. And President Trump is also going to be looking to make sure that China is purchasing soybeans from U.S. farmers. That's according to the Treasury Secretary as well. Now, again, a lot happening on that front. Also, it's really important to note that they're expected to sell off and officially hand over ownership of TikTok. Now, the details are very interesting, and we'll listen to the Treasury Secretary the detail exactly what the terms are, because, well, I've got my little red flags here that are sounding off. So let's take a listen to clip two, and you'll get my reaction on the other side.
Are those finalized? Has China agreed to give up control of the algorithm that determines what users see?
Margaret, we reached a final deal on TikTok. We'd reached one in Madrid, and I believe that as of today, all the details are ironed out, and that will be for the two leaders to consummate that transaction on Thursday in Korea.
Okay, so some of the details are interesting. Now, the Chinese company that currently owns TikTok would still own at least 20% of the company. It would also license out the algorithm to us, I guess. American app, which is interesting. Again, I don't know if that's going to be beneficial at all. I can tell you that right now, TikTok, now that it's being controlled by the CCP, that algorithm, we have a lot of issues here because there's been a lot of propaganda being pushed that is not good for this country. In case you want to be shocked, TikTok has been promoting, and it's been studied and it's been, you know, cited. It's been promoting Zoe Ramadani, the New York City mayor, the candidate for mayor. Interesting enough, he's the communist pick. I'm going to sound off for him about him later in the show, but it's been promoting him and then promoting anti-Cuomo propaganda. So again, I don't like either of them, but the reality of it is the CCP is trying to encourage its own favorable candidates to make its way into high-level positions here in the United States. And that's exactly what they're trying to crunch down on. Now, again, I don't know if I fully support the U.S. government getting involved in this. Who will exactly have control of the algorithm? Well, that's where all the power lies. And so I'm not very optimistic about this. Anytime we sit here and we try to shift things over, it doesn't really seem to do much good. So we'll keep our eye on this. Again, this sale is expected to be finalized by Thursday when President Trump is meeting with Xi Jinping. And we will continue to cover it. I look forward to having a bunch of great analysts on the program to kind of give you a little bit more of an expertise expectance on all of this. So that will be exciting. But it's not just that, folks. We've also got a lot happening in regards to, lockdown. So the shutdown. So ultimately, we keep talking about this as well. Mystery donor has just been revealed. Remember when we talked about how there was one billionaire looking to cough up $130 million in cash? Well, interesting enough, The details behind all of that have been kind of outlined for us. The billionaire Timothy Mellon, identified as the fundraiser who has now given that money, is going to contribute to the 2 million service members who are looking for an emergency payroll. Well, he is someone who obviously is prominent in the banking industry. Apparently, this is according to the New York Times, again, not confirmed because he wanted to remain private. He is the individual who has coughed up the cash, the $130 million, to do just that. So it's very, very interesting to see. I think that's a great thing to do. I wonder why he wants to fly under the radar. I'm sure when you have that much money, though, you don't need people praising you. But I think it's great to see that the banking world is stepping in on this, and they're the ones who are going to be footing the expense because they know how important it is. So again, we're following that story for you. Now, when it comes to these shutdowns and how the military is not being paid, and click through, you're going to see how CNN's not very happy with the fact that now the money is being funded for their payroll. And they're very, very unhinged about it. Take a listen.
The New York Times reported that the private donor who gave President Trump $130 million to pay U.S. troops during the shutdown, that he is billionaire Timothy Mellon. And the donation appears to violate federal law. But what do you say to Americans who look at that and think it's President Trump, not Democrats, making sure that troops get paid?
Well, I think one of the reasons that President Trump is refusing to negotiate is because he likes the fact that the government is closed, because he thinks he can exercise king-like powers. He can open up the parts of the government that he wants. He can pay the employees who are loyal to him. I mean, this is a leader who is trying to transition our government from a democracy to something much closer to a totalitarian state. And so this is part of what happens in totalitarian states. The leader, the regime, only decides what things get funded and what don't, often in coordination with their oligarch friends. So I just don't want to live in a world in which Donald Trump and a handful of billionaires decide which part of government works and which don't, which is why I would rather have him at the negotiating table tomorrow, so that we can reopen the government and it can be a democratically elected Congress that decides what things get funded, not a handful of super rich dudes.
Chris Murphy, really, really not very intelligent. No, this is the problem right now. Democrats are looking to continue to hold the government hostage, and they're not happy that someone's just coughed up the cash on one of their biggest negotiation chips. Those on the left are not trying their best to negotiate an ending to the shutdown. They are looking for really only illegal aliens to be funded. And that's the big point in all of this. There's key 8 states, Democrat states, of course, that still have tons and tons and tons of illegal aliens on their Medicaid programs. And they're not looking to push them off anytime soon. And it's because, again, that is their future voter base. And so those are the people that you're trying to win over. So when they sit there and they get fired up and angry that our military is being paid by someone who was kind enough to cough up the cash and take away that negotiation chip for them, they're not happy. They'd rather hold those service members hostage. And to sit here and pretend like President Trump is just trying to look like the winner in all of this is absolute garbage. He knows that. He knows that. The military doesn't have loyalty to President Trump. They have loyalty to the American people. We are the ones that they are supposed to be protecting, and not President Trump. And that is not the case. They're not looking to protect President Trump. This is the type of stuff that they're pushing, as if there's a big takeover right now. The only takeover that's happening is the communist takeover that's happening right now with the Democratic Party, and they don't want to actually talk about it. Instead, they want to sit there, get up on CNN, and get angry because, well, members of the military are now being paid. They've been pushing this story, and I've been chuckling because I see those even on the right who are echoing it, that our service members are being forced to go to the food banks to ask for food to feed their families. It's not the case. They were even pushing that story before the financial burdens were even felt by anyone of the shutdown. So again, what are they trying to do? Well, they're trying to hold service members hostage. They're trying to make it seem like President Trump is the one to be held responsible for all of that. Because President Trump has now miraculously found a donor who is willing to cough up $130 million to continue to secure our country. Well, those on the left are not very happy. And like you heard the whip leader say, she was not happy either. She was not happy, saying that this is the only time that they're able to negotiate. So again, This is what the left is. They hate this country. They hate the fact that they can't hold this country hostage. They were going to use the service members and get everyone around the country so upset because we can't pay U.S. service members. So we have to fund anything that they put forward. President Trump is trying to hold law, and anyone else who does not see that, they're lying to you. They don't have our best intentions. So do I support President Trump and all the great things he's doing right now when it comes to the shutdown? Absolutely. Again, we're critical of the Trump administration at times. But we ask for this. We demand this. And President Trump is doing just that. Now, in clip four, President Trump detailed what it would look like to reopen the government and what some of his requirements are. Take a listen.
Do you think you'll sit down with Hakeem Jeffries and...
I would. I'd be willing to. I would have now, too. You know, I left. I said, come on over. Just put the government back. All they have to do is say yes, and then it's over. And we start. And then we go into a negotiation. Look, Obamacare has been terrible. We can make it better. I'm all for that. But they're not. And they want to allow many, many illegal people that came into our country illegally from prisons, from mental institutions, from all over the world. They want them to get paid. And that's going to hurt the citizens of our country. And I just can't do it.
Yeah, common sense is not to do it. This is not what the American people voted for. We did not want this. We wanted this president to hold the line. This is what it looks like to do just that. So while they tried to hold our service members hostage, it's very, very apparent that that is not going to work out for them, of course. And we're thankful for that. You know, I'm sitting here and watching cable news, and I watch cable news so you guys at home don't have to, so I can just tell you what they're saying. And they're trying to push this as if it falls onto President Trump. You see, they have all these Democrats on their cable news networks, and they're unable to ask the tough questions. What exactly are you looking for? See, Democrats don't even know what they're looking for. They have no idea. They just say the shutdown is because of President Trump, and there's nothing more that they could regurgitate because these are their talking points. These are the talking points that they've been handed over. And so they don't want to actually have these tough conversations. And that's what's going on right now. That's what's going on right now. But listen, on this show, we're fair and balanced. So while I sit here and tell you all about how the Trump administration's doing great at holding the line, I want to give you a fair shake at things. Let's talk about something that I would like to lend my criticism to. I want to talk about how the Trump administration so far has abandoned a police officer and has allowed a rogue federal judge to send him to prison, and no one's speaking out on this issue. Brett Hankinson, that's a name I keep saying on this program. That is a story I continue to cover, and we're not letting up anytime soon. In case you're unfamiliar with Brett, Brett was sentenced to 3 years in prison because, well, Brett was there, present, working during the Breonna Taylor shooting. Now, in case you didn't know, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend opened fire first on police, and then they responded by returning fire because one of their own was shot in the leg. Now, here we go time and time again. I'm going to remind you, there was a no-knock warrant that wasn't utilized that day because they thought they didn't need it. So they did officially announce they were outside. We know that because we've seen the court documents that say it. We know that because I've had Sergeant John Mattingly, the man who was shot by Taylor's boyfriend, on this show, who debunked all of that. But the media won't tell you that, of course, because it doesn't fit the narrative. Well, Brett was sentenced to 33 months in prison. Even though, and he was sentenced because, of course, the Biden regime wanted to throw anyone in prison that was related to that incident. And Brett obviously took the backlash of the politicians that failed to do their job that day, who even encouraged the raid on Breonna Taylor's home because they wanted to gentrify the area. And so they wanted her gone. But listen here. Hankinson's right now sitting in federal prison, even though the DOJ, before his sentencing, requested that the judge not send him to prison. That was because the DOJ at that time was being run by the Trump administration. So they said no prison time for him. But the judge went around it anyway and said, no, we're sending him to prison. Now, if you're wondering what they accused him of, civil rights violations, because he returned fire after his fellow member in law enforcement was shot in the leg by Taylor's boyfriend. So right now, Brett is sitting in federal prison. In fact, he is sitting in solitary confinement. Now, my last communication, not with Brett, because I've never actually spoken to Brett, but the people who love him dearly have not been able to speak to Brett. Why? Well, he was put in solitary confinement. Why is Brett sitting in solitary confinement? Because Brett was obviously involved in a high-profile police-involved shooting. And so all those race-baiting Democrats put a target on his back, and so did the judge who decided to push him into prison, even though he's appealing what took place during his criminal trial. The judge didn't care. The judge wasn't there anyway. So what's happening now? Well, Brett is dealing with active death threats. In fact, we know that somebody has actually approached Brett and threatened to kill him. So what's happening now? Well, the Bureau of Prisons, by the way, the Bureau of Prisons is ran by the DOJ. So this is all within the purview of AG Pambani and Deputy AG Todd Blanche, have shifted him to solitary confinement. So now Brett, for coming forward and saying that he is receiving death threats, is being punished for doing that. He is sitting right now in a cell, likely for about 23 to 24 hours a day, by himself, no communication, he's cut off from his loved ones, can't even call them on the phone. And again, solitary confinement is a form of abuse. We know this, the ACL knows this. They used to jump on this and go after and advocate for actual violent criminals when they were tossed in solitary confinement, but not anymore. No. They have become a partisan group, and they will not advocate for those who are wrongfully in prison being abused. So today I'm going to tell you how, under the Trump administration, in their own DOJ, how Brett Hankinson is being held hostage and being abused and being held in solitary confinement. That's what's happening right now. Now, again, I've made several attempts to advocate for him on his behalf, and there are incredible patriots who, you know, we love over the DOJ, who do their very best, but they do not have the top authority. Now, I've been told by my sources that Brett's pardon has been sitting on Todd Blanche's desk. You've heard that before. Todd Blanche, the same guy who shut down the investigation into seeing why, when Ed Martin was reaching out to see why there was an FBI agent who was actively trying to shut down Infowars, that those allegations outlined by Alex Jones himself. Well, it's the same Todd Blanche now who has not yet pushed forward with trying to help out Brett Hankinson. So Brett is sitting right now in solitary confinement with death threats against him. And he's going to be sitting there for up to 33 months until someone intervenes. Now, this DOJ knows that Brett should not be sitting in prison. They themselves have said just that. But they have completely forgotten about Brett. In fact, Brett is sitting right now in solitary confinement, unable to speak to his family to give them any type of information regarding what's going on. And there's nothing that can be done about it. We're all just sitting here and hoping that the DOJ finally gets to that one. Obviously, if you're someone whose pardon sitting on Todd Blanche's desk right now and you're actively getting death threats, you probably are really hoping that Todd Blanche could get on that super fast. But unfortunately, it doesn't appear to be the case. Now, I've reached out several times for comments and, of course, crickets. It's very, very unfortunate, folks. But it looks like the group who have helped get President Trump elected, which is members of law enforcement, are being abandoned right now by the Department of Justice. Folks, I want to remind you all right now to head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. We just got the Android version. That's where you can go to download it. And also, when you download it today, you get 20% off to use over at the alexjonesstore.com. Now, that's going to be obviously over at the app menu, of course. So head on over right now and download the app. We got more to discuss. Don't go anywhere.
I just recommend the people personal relationship with God, praying to God, saying, I want to be good. I want to recognize truth. I want to know what truth is. I want to open myself up to you. I'm an imperfect. I repent for what I've done. I want you to cleanse me and then show me the truth and then show me how to be a better person. And then show me after that what the mission is you have for me. And literally, if you do that through a process, it may take days, may take months, may take years. Then the adventure begins, and then all of a sudden you're being given like intel and stuff, like, and like literally just, you have to learn to go with it. It's never wrong, and it's God, and it's there, and it's your personal relationship. And then obviously people get this relationship, they all want to teach other people it, and God says get together in groups, that's great. But Christ didn't try to go get the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priest class to join him. He said their minds were closed. He went to the prostitutes and the tax collectors and the robbers, the thieves, because they were already outcasts. But that's where he found people that were already under evil's control but weren't arrogant about it, who were looking for a way out. And so, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to, is a spiritual relationship with God. And there are some real churches and things.
But don't you find that? I know I have found that. You see sparks of this in the most unlikely people. If you put a list on paper of the people in your life, I won't ask you to say it out loud, but who you really trust, or you talk to and you groove with them and they like know exactly what you're saying. You know, they are on the same wavelength in some deep way. It's not the people you would expect. Have you ever noticed that?
Absolutely. Most people get into media because they want to be movie stars. Most people become a preacher because they want to, you know, because they want to be famous and have power. And then you'll find like just the most just normal, unassuming person that has all this great knowledge.
Yes.
Because they already have all the power. They don't need power. And so it's just
they're connected to God's power. Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And it's quite the quest because so many people are lost, and really it's an inside job. They've got to somehow open up the channel to God, and then they'll see everything that's happening, and then God will give them a message and a mission of what they should do. And I don't want to say all churches are bad, because there's a lot of good people in the churches regardless. It's just that the last 120 years, the Rockefeller Foundation, the ecumenical movement, and all of that has really moved into the churches. We see that with all the rainbow flags and all, you know, the famous cathedrals in England now festooned with all the leftist, you know, graffiti and garbage. I mean, it's been captured, is my point.
God is gay.
But people can't get turned off by that and say, well, God's dead. No, no. Satan has occupied the so-called temples. But God isn't in the temple. God is inside us.
Hey, Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all with us today. We're kicking off today's show by going over the headlines that you may have missed over the weekend to catch you up on things. Obviously, a lot happening. And so that's why you got us here. So welcome. Thank you for being here. All right, let's turn things over about Adam Schiff, because this one I think you're really going to like. There are certain experts, people who I trust, like former U.S. Attorney Brett Tolman, coming out and saying that Adam Schiff could actually face fines and prison time if he was the one behind classified documents being leaked. Now, Brett Tolman is an absolute patriot and someone I highly respect, so he doesn't oversell you on things. So listen here, there's a whistleblower, a Democrat apparently whistleblower, who's coming forward, and it's also backed by declassified FBI reports, claiming that Adam Schiff released classified information to damage President Donald Trump during the Trump-Russia investigation. Now, obviously, Schiff, as a House Intelligence Committee member, allegedly planned to leak derogatory classified information to indict President Trump with, obviously, leaks that would go undetected. Now, the whistleblower is calling the plan unethical and possibly treason. Now, again, this person is being classified as a Democrat whistleblower. Just keep that in mind. Now, the person also goes on to say that the report reported it to the FBI back in 2017 and 2023, but claims no actions were taken up when they made this report to FBI Director Christopher Wray. Oh, how convenient is that? Christopher Wray didn't want to go after Adam Schiff for allegedly leaking. And when a Democrat whistleblower comes forward, that's what the media is saying. They're referring to this person as a Democrat. We don't know who they are. When they come forward and they report Adam Schiff for leaking classified information, one would think that would warrant an investigation. Now, again, Brett Tolman saying, Adam Schiff could go to prison for this. He could face up to 20 years in prison if this is true, and $250,000 in fines. Now, I know a lot of those on the left were very excited last week when they thought that the investigation into Adam Schiff for allegedly committing mortgage fraud was going to be stonewalled. But it looks like if that falls flat, you got another one in the bag. Hear me out. I told you last week, I said Adam Schiff should be thankful for just maybe a mortgage fraud investigation at this point, because we know he's committed crimes. It's in our beliefs that he's committed a bunch of heinous crimes, things that are significantly more serious than mortgage fraud. And so mortgage fraud is like literally the lowest fruit hanging that the DOJ could grab onto. If they could prove that he was the one behind classified information being leaked, throw that pig in the slammer. You see, Adam Schiff had no problem going after President Trump all these years and lecturing the rest of us about how, oh, President Trump is a criminal. He had no problem committing treason. Listen, the accountability tour needs to kick up a notch, maybe like 10 more notches at this point. It is a slow-moving accountability tour, and there's probably people in the way looking to make sure of that. But what's next for this? You know what would make a great, great U.S. Attorney General? Brett Tolman. I don't know if he's ever interested in it. I haven't spoken to him in months, but I would say that he'd be great. He's a patriot, loves his country. He fights for the American people. And he's got all the credentials to do just that. So if we're looking for a replacement, I don't think it would be Brett directly. I think actually, and hear me out, okay, according to my sources, Andrew Bailey, who is now the co-deputy director for the FBI, it's not a real position. It's never been used before. They made it for him. Why? Well, according to my sources who were working for them at the time, Missouri AG, he was telling his team that once he makes his way into the U.S. Attorney General's office, that he will be bringing them with him. And he said it'd take about 6 months. So I think we're at least 2 months into it now, at least. So I think that there's going to be a shakeup at the DOJ coming very, very soon. Not soon enough, though, but coming very, very soon. You see, I want to sit here and pretend like everything that's going on at the DOJ right now is up to our standards as the American people, the voters. But it's not. It's not. There's a lot of things being stonewalled behind the scenes. And I get it. They say, oh, it's one person. Like, they can't take all this on. They gotta, you could hire as many people as you want to help you. I don't even think Brett Tolman has a job right now. I think he's probably by choice, though, of course. But maybe make him an offer that he can't reject so he could go out there and help go through all of this. But they're not doing that. Time and time again, I'm talking to my sources, and they're like, we're advocating for accountability behind the scenes. The people who are in control of it, though, are the ones who are holding up the show. So Adam Schiff, obviously, according to this whistleblower, and again, I haven't seen any of the evidence that this person has presented. But if they did have this evidence back in 2017 and 2023, then heck yeah, you go after Adam Schiff. Heck yeah, you throw that guy in prison. So what's the holdup? The legitimate question that we have a right to ask as the American people? Or too busy being stonewalled? And listen, I don't hate anyone in the administration. There's some great things happening, some bad things happening. But when people are intentionally not doing what the American people elect them to do, we have to change. Because we saw what happened under the first term, right? We saw all these people who were stonewalling the president's agenda. He had to fight against all of these people, both internally and externally. And he wasn't able to get done what he wanted to get done. Well, now is the time to get things done. If they are holding things up, which I'm told they are, time to start pushing some people out. Now, again, when I tell you that Andrew Bailey is now at the FBI, you're probably wondering, well, what is he doing at the FBI? Because you don't really see him much putting his face out there as much as, let's just say, Director Kash Patel or the Deputy Director Dan Bongino. And that's because he's really just studying up on all these lawfare cases. People who went after President Trump, he's reading into the deep state, from what I've been told. He is the one who's out there doing the research into this so that when there is a change, he can quickly jump in and take over. And so we hope that's the case. We truly do. Bailey's a great attorney. He was great over in Missouri. We appreciated all that he did there. But now it's time to move on. Now it's time to move on to the next phase of all of this because, folks, I'm done with just seeing little indictments here and there, sprinkled indictments. Again, no mugshots, though. No mugshots. They were so quick to do just that when they were able to land an indictment in Georgia. Remember that? Well, now all of a sudden we can't do that. No. We have to play by the rules. Not the rules of the Democrats, maybe, to play by the actual rules. Speaking of just that, let's highlight what Sean Duffy's doing, because Sean Duffy has been one, and I'm very thankful for this, he has been pushing back against the illegals who have been given access to, which is so crazy in itself, that illegals have been given CDLs, so commercial driver's licenses. And it's crazy because a lot of this obviously coming from California, but we're just starting to hear about the accidents that these people have caused because they can't read. They can't read signs. They don't know how to use our roads. So someone thought it was a great idea to give them semi-trucks. Obviously those who are advocating for cheaper labor, yes. But they're helping them lie on their tests, pretend like they're proficient in English when they can't speak a lick of English. And again, these are low IQ'd individuals. I mean, we spoke about it last week. There was one person who caused an accident, sadly a fatal accident, and failed, according to reports. This guy apparently failed to pass his CDL. I think it said 10 times. I mean, this is what's going on in this country right now. Now, Sean Duffy has made this one of his big issues here. Oh, before we get to Sean Duffy, let me just say this. I don't think this just started happening, folks. I don't think these accidents started just recently happening because we're just starting to now hear about them. I honestly believe that there was probably a bunch of fatalities. If we were to dig into the archives, and this will be something I'm going to put it on my list, reach out to DHS. Because I have a strong feeling, if we were to do some simple digging into all of this, that there were probably more accidents that you didn't hear about under the Biden regime, and they intentionally withheld the immigration status of those individuals. Why do I think that? Well, I mean, this didn't just start happening 6-7 months ago. And we're hearing about these stories, I feel like, every week now. Every week, whether it's those with CDL licenses or those with driver's licenses that have no name on them. So I'll be reaching out to DHS for comment. I'll just put that on my to-do list. But Sean Duffy, he is the transportation secretary. He's doing a great job, I'd say. Great job. Probably because he's not busy like his the last guy who was running the transportation division. He's not busy chest feeding. He's actually out there doing his job. And interesting enough, he has been swinging at the issue and now threatening to withhold funding for California, saying he will pull $160 million from California if they don't get their ish together. Now, he said this yesterday when he was talking to my former boss over on Fox, Ms. Maria Bartiromo. You're going to listen to that in clip 5. Take a listen.
He's refused to comply with the rules that have come from DOT, which is stop issuing these licenses, number one. And number two, go back and review all the licenses that you have issued and make sure it's been done legally. Gavin Newsom has said no. So, one, I'm about to pull $160 million from California. And as we pull more money, we also have the option of pulling California's ability to issue commercial driver's licenses. Gavin Newsom cares more about illegals getting commercial driver's licenses than he does the citizens of his own state and the safety of Americans. It's shameful. He's been lying about what he's been doing.
Yeah, and it's not just the citizens of California. It's the rest of us who have to live with this. I mean, that one truck driver did that crash in Florida. In Florida. So, yeah, this is a national issue that needs its attention, and I would love to sift through the records and see how many more of these accidents were caused by illegals who were given driver's licenses in places like California, New York, and others. I'm sure they never collected that information because they don't want you talking about it. They were too busy going after the boogeyman, you know, like the white supremacists. The rise on, this was DHS, the rise in right-wing violence. Couldn't give you any numbers, though. I reached out often under the Biden years, asked them for the numbers in regards to this threat that you keep talking about. Had no numbers, but just cite a couple of instances that they deemed were related to white supremacy. But securing our roads from illegal aliens who can't read signs, really a top priority. Not really a top priority at all. The Trump administration, though, making it a top priority to go after those who are trying their very best to bring drugs into this great country. He has declared war on Venezuela when it comes to the drug war. Okay, now the drug war, we've been under attack now for years, but no one's wanted to really push back. So finally, we have a president who's punching back. That's the reality behind it, folks. I know a lot of people think that we don't want war. The reality of it is thousands of Americans have died from fentanyl, either directly by taking the drugs or indirectly by just accidentally consuming fentanyl. And so we've got a lot of issues there. But he has, according to reports, moved over the U.S. Navy destroyer USS Gravely, docked in Trinidad right now. And that move was made on Sunday for a scheduled visit set to depart on Thursday. Marines will conduct training sessions with the region, those in the region. The exercises occur near Venezuela's coast. And obviously, this has a lot to do with the drug trafficking and the Maduro regime. Now, there's a lot there when it comes to Nicolas Maduro. I find it a little strange that we're so hyper-focused on him. I don't know about you guys all at home, but it's a little odd to me out of all of the countries that are participating in this, why we're so focused on him. But that's what's happening right now. And a lot of people aren't happy, though, that President Trump is fighting back when it comes to the drug cartels. In clip six, you're going to listen to a senator who's going to literally come out there and say that he's not happy that President Trump is striking back, but more specifically how those votes that he says, and so far he's not a single allegation that he's been wrong in any of this has been made, but President Trump is obviously striking those vessels that are coming towards the U.S. with drugs, and it's not making everyone very happy. Take a listen to clip six.
Administration insists these strikes are consistent with international law. Do you agree with that?
No, it's murder. It's very simple. If this president feels that they're doing something illegally, then he should be using the Coast Guard. If this is an act of war, then you use our military, and then you come and talk to us first. But this is murder. It's sanctioned murder that he is doing that. And it's very simple for someone like him to talk about killing people or doing something in the name of war. He's never actually served. He's never actually pulled a trigger. And it's very dangerous what he's doing, both to our international relations, to our friends down in South America, and to these men and women that have to make these calls for a president who has zero understanding about the responsibility someone has when it comes to having to make life and death decisions. It's disgusting what he's doing.
Okay, listen, so I have not yet seen any allegations that he has been wrong, President Trump has been wrong in any of his intel. And I do want to highlight that. I also want to highlight the fact that, you know, I know the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, came out and said that one of them just recently, I think it was the last one, were TDA members who are obviously designated terrorists. So I want to keep highlighting that. I want to keep highlighting the fact that so far, it looks like everything that they have done has specifically gone after the cartels. But I also want to highlight this. The cartels aren't sending their top officials onto those boats to bring it over to the U.S. In fact, it is low-level people probably within the villages who are being forced to go out there, and whether they owe money or whatever it is, to get onto these boats and to bring the product here to the United States. So it's probably the most lowest individuals on the totem pole when it comes to this drug war. So with that said, that would be a fair argument, and we'll have you guys weigh in on this in a little bit when I take calls later on the show, but I will say that it's enough is enough. We're tired of seeing drugs come into our country. President Trump obviously trying to send a very clear message with a visual of so far, I believe we're up to 9 vessels being blown up. One was actually a submarine, which is crazy to think. The president saying that it was actually filled with fentanyl. But again, President Trump is doing his best to fight back because so many people have just looked the other way on this. They've allowed the cartels to infiltrate here in the United States. They have allowed them to get away with all of this. And so whether you agree with it or not, I have to say, at least someone's trying to do something. Now, again, I'm a little torn on the issue. Okay, yes, I want to see this. I want to see us going after these cartels, but I also want to make sure, number one, that everything is what they say it is. And so far, yes, that's true. It has been. Their intel has been very, very good. No one is disputing that as of yet. And number two, I do have a little bit of empathy because these are the low-level people on the totem poles. Probably these cartels are threatening to kill their family if they don't make this voyage. And so it's very likely that a lot of these people might actually be innocent, people just being used by the cartels. So just keep that in mind. We see it often when they try to smuggle drugs in through airports. Those who are being picked up are very low level, not really involved much in the cartels itself. It's day-to-day business efforts. Instead, they are being used. Or they're given a lot of money and promised that if they could do it, they'll make 20 grand, whatever the figure is. And for someone who's low income, obviously, you don't have a lot of opportunity, and that sounds really enticing. So I love the fact that President Trump is doing something about this. I love the fact that we are pushing back against those that have declared war against us. But it's a matter of we hope that they're accurate. But most importantly, I want to keep highlighting the fact that these aren't the top officials who have actively caused the deaths of thousands of Americans. These are probably very low-level individuals. I want to turn to something that the corporate media can't get over. The ballroom. They are so upset that President Trump is making a beautiful ballroom over at the White House. Which is kind of hard to believe that they don't have it already. I told you guys I've been to the White House once before inside. The media room is gross. It smells like mildew. It's small. It looks beautiful on camera. The visual is great, but you're actually crammed into like this little room. Kind of feels a little bit like a trailer. It smells like mildew, but that's probably just the corporate media journalists. But it's really, it could use some renovations, but President Trump's not going to renovate that anytime soon. But he is going to make a beautiful ballroom. And people can't stand that. Clip 7, President Trump is clearing up the rumors by telling you how much money he's actually fundraised for all of this. Take a listen.
Well, we've raised a lot. We've raised over $350 million. It's a beautiful room, a big room. I don't have any plan to call it after myself. That was fake news. Probably going to call it the presidential ballroom or something like that. We haven't really thought about a name yet.
$350 million. I was told that was going to be very hard and that was going to somehow be passed on to American taxpayers. That's what the corporate media was just telling you literally on Friday. And I never understood why they were even picking that argument. That is a hard one to pick. Do they have the proof? Did they tell you where that money was coming from? I mean, they told us that $200 million was coming from American taxpayers. Prove it. No one ever asked them to prove it. Those within the corporate media, Democrats, they went out there because they keep trying to fire up their base. They have crazies in their base. They want them to do something crazy. They want them to go out there and kill President Trump. That's what they're doing. So when they sit there and they say, oh, he's taking now taxpayer money, he's shifting it over for his ballroom. Oh, he's using the military now by paying them so that they could be loyal to just him. They are trying. This is not discreet. They know they have a lot of crazies within their party, and they are trying to intentionally get them to do something very, very crazy. They're trying to get them to kill President Trump. And so although you think it's just the ballroom, it's a ballroom lie. It's not just a ballroom lie. It's the pile up in their sick little minds that they think that this is an ongoing threat, that President Trump is an ongoing threat. Oh, no, now he's trying to demolish the White House. It's not his house. It's our house. As if it's strange for a president to renovate the White House. The White House needs renovations. And the fact, and I loved it because we played it last week for you. They're trying to say, oh, he's running a pay-to-play scheme. How the heck does that work? When now you have $350 million to spend on the White House, None of that's being paid by taxpayer, according to him. How does that happen? Again, folks, nobody asks any questions, hard questions on the left. Instead, they do this little stupid, like the sky's falling dance, and they don't want to actually hear of anything of substance. And so it's not really surprising, of course. It isn't. But this is what they do. They do this all the time, and it's just so frustrating to keep having to listen to. And nobody even asks questions. Like, why are we still, like, listening to this spin? I'm so fed up with listening to their spin on things. That's what's happening right now. Folks, I'm going to need you to head on over right now to the App Store and download the AJN Live app. If you haven't done so already, it's over at alexjonesapp.com. Head on over there right now because we just made the Android app available to all of you at home. So if you haven't done so already, do it now. What are you waiting on? AlexJonesApp.com. When they lock those front doors on us, we want to make sure you stay in touch with us. We want to make sure that the information war continues because that was the reason for all of this. They wanted to shut down the only network that's giving you all of the truthful information. They can't control us, so that was the best way that they could do this. So make sure you stay in touch with us because the information war will continue. We'll continue to bring you all of the information you need to know. But it only happens if you stay in touch with us. So head on over right now, alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. When you do just that, we're going to thank you by giving you 20% off your next purchase over at the alexjonesstore.com. When you use that exclusive promo that you get in the app menu, then you're going to head on over to the alexjonesstore, obviously.com. And you're going to want to buy some things. You're going to want to buy some things. And there's so many incredible things right now that you could go and indulge in. We've got, obviously, so many things. I know that we love in this, like, let's just say the studio, Colostrum. I know everyone was talking about it last week. It's back in stock. Head on over right now to the Alex Jones store. Make sure you grab yourself some of that. And when you go over there and you support us, it helps fund our very next operation. So make sure you do just that. There's also, obviously, so many incentives. But the main one is that when you go over to the alexjonesstore.com, you're helping us fund our very next operation. So we are very grateful for you when you do just that. All right, I got a lot more we're going to be diving into in just a little bit. Karine Jean-Pierre is out there, and she's actually getting confronted a lot by the corporate media. I don't know how this is happening, but they are all piling up on her. She's obviously peddling a book. Now, that book obviously isn't very good, and as a result of that, they are going after her. And it's been very interesting to sit back and watch. I'll play the very latest on that front, of course. So do not go anywhere. There is more American Journal to dive into in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at the alexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bak, quack, 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 whatever. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga baka woom kak kak. That'd be really good.
American Journal. We're excited that you're all here. Getting ready to kick off the second hour of the program today. A lot going on in the world. We'll be taking your call later in the program. But, you know, we got a lot to sound off on, so thank you for joining me. As I detailed earlier, we're going to dive into Karine Jean-Pierre. However you say KJP, so we call her in the streets, because, folks, she's being called out by the corporate media, which is strange, because rarely do they call her out. Rarely. So we look forward to hearing about that. We're also going to be talking a little bit about crime stats and how they are potentially being misrepresented. Stephen Miller has taken up that issue, and he's doing a great job at outing all of the details, and we'll detail that for you. There's also a crazy, I mean, I'm going to play it for you guys because I couldn't believe it, but I was really infuriated when I heard about a story about an Oklahoma teenager who is accused of raping two girls, 16-year-olds. Well, he originally was facing 78 years in prison after he took a plea, but then, since he was 17 when the crimes were committed, they worked out some type of agreement with him where he doesn't get any jail time, and he was literally given, like, community service. I mean, how insane is that? So we'll be detailing that for you guys later in the show as well. Plus, a lot happening in regards to Zohran Mahdani. I've got to sound off on it because I'm so annoyed. I'm so annoyed that people are now jumping on board with all of this. For far too long, we've sat back and we've watched people as they have looked the other way on the issue of how this communist was able to push himself forward in the New York City mayoral race. Now, for so many people at home, everyone just thought, oh, it's just New York City. It is what it is. And we told you, though, that this was not the case. This was a communist takeover. We've played the evidence that this has been in the works for over, I'd say, about 10-plus years now, that they were going to do this. They've done this. And this is the difference between Islam and every other group of people, because they are very patient. And this is a takeover. And so many people who have these massive platforms bigger than mine, were too afraid to come out and say it because they didn't want to be labeled a mean name. Well, now that everything's safe, and of course, now that the election's just a few days away, they have come forward and they want to talk about Zohran Mahdani as if they were experts on the issue. Instead, they look the other way on all of this when we could have actually made change. Well, now it's probably too late. So we'll dive into that. Plus, I love this, and I love to call it out. I'm going to be calling out a Chicago reporter because they decided to show an incident regarding a federal agent pushing away some woman who had assaulted him. But again, they didn't show you all the footage. Well, DHS has released all the footage, and it shows, shockingly, that this agent was actually first attacked by the activist. It's a real narrative disturber. Gosh, it's a Monday morning, folks. Bear with me today. Bear with me. We're also going to talk about Kamala Harris because she's threatening to run for president again. Yes, I said it. She's threatening to run for president again. I mean, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear cackles again, but it might happen. So we'll play that for you. And I know a lot of you at home are like, if she runs again, we'll just beat her again. Yeah, but I don't want to go through that again. But they don't really have much on the left these days. Who else is next? Gavin Newsom? And he's hot trash, and he knows that. So we'll play that one for you because it will give you a good laugh on this beautiful Monday morning. We'll also be talking, obviously, everything related to Chicago because they have a communist running the show right now. And he's not very happy. He has since compared the term illegal alien to slavery. That's what they always try to do. They always try their very best to try to create hate, try to change our vocabulary because it's the narrative. Whoever can control the words is the one who controls the narrative. And they're doing a great job at that. So now they don't want you saying the words illegal alien. No. That's practically slavery. The left knows a thing or two about that, though, of course. All right, so we've got a lot going on that front that we're looking forward to kicking off in the second hour of the show. Plus, we'll be taking your calls as well. So I look forward to just that. So, folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. It's how you stay in touch with us, with whatever our next venture is. So we look forward to just that. So head on over, download the app in the meantime. We'll be right back with plenty of more to discuss here on the American Journal. Again, folks, head on over, alexjonesapp.com. Download it if you haven't done so already.
Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot to sound off on, of course. A lot happening over the weekend, and we wanted to make sure we catch you up on all things related to that. If you haven't done so already, though, I want to warn y'all, we're going to be taking calls a little bit into this hour and also into the third hour of the show. So give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll take a little bit of calls, obviously, in this half and then the next half of the hour as well, because there's a lot more to kick off and dive into. But I want to talk to you guys specifically about some of the news stories we've already covered. So keep it on topic. I know a lot of people like to talk about other things. I want to keep it as much as we possibly can on the topics that we have so far discussed that we're talking about in this hour as well. So I want to get to everyone. That's the best way to do it. So give me a ring. All right. Let's talk to this. Let's talk about this one because this one's interesting. MSNBC is actually pushing back on Karine Jean-Pierre. And I think it's really fascinating because, we rarely hear the media pushing back on those who are on their side, but she's probably not really on their side anymore. No longer as a Democrat these days, but they're giving her a lot of push on her book tour. This one was really interesting because they gave her pushback in regards to what she said while she was occupying the podium at the White House. But Robert Hur, ultimately, they're accusing her of smearing the special prosecutor who called out Joe Biden for having cognitive issues. Take a listen to how she responded to all of that in clip 8.
The special counsel Robert Hur, when his report came out about President Biden and the classified documents, you stood from the White House podium February 2024 and you said that his commentary was gratuitous, that it was unacceptable and it didn't live in reality. And clearly the American public saw another side of Joe Biden's mental acuity during the summer's debate. Robert Hur was unemployable for a period because of the attacks from the Democrats and from the White House that you were at the podium leading. Have you apologized to Robert Hur?
I mean, look, what I can say to you is I saw the president every single day. It wasn't one-offs. It wasn't once in a while. I saw him every day. He is someone that was sharp.
Case, have you gone back to someone
who sharp.
Sharp comments about, and we all saw a different reality in your personal capacity?
What I'm saying is my reality was this. My reality was somebody that I saw every single day who was sharp, who pushed his team, was understanding very clearly of the policy of history. That is what I saw. I could only speak for what I saw on a daily basis for 2.5 years, almost 4 years actually. And I was White House press secretary, obviously, for 2.5 years. And that is the president that I know.
It's very interesting, right? Because she's trying her very best, obviously, to push a book, but she's also getting a beat down from the corporate media because she's not appearing to be very truthful. She doesn't appear to be very truthful. There's no way you didn't see it. There's absolutely no way, but it is her job to cover for the president, obviously. And so there's that, but there is no way that she didn't see it. If she didn't really see it, then that just means that she's really stupid. I mean, folks, the decline happened before he was even so-called elected. And she knows that. She's a part of the cover-up. She's a part of the cover-up, but she has a book to sell. And so she's going to do her very best. And this woman has no shame. No shame at all. She plays the race card endlessly throughout all of these hits. Can't stop talking about how she's the first black queer woman to take over the podium as if it's somehow a positive thing. I don't know why that's your biggest claim to fame. You know, it's like being a host at InfoWars saying, yeah, I'm the female. I'm making that the front. That's embarrassing. What else you got? For her, it's nothing. Only people who have nothing to offer you of value will put that type of information forward as if it's something that's makes them credible. It doesn't make her credible. She got the job because she figured if you tried to attack her, she had two cards, three cards actually throw at you. Female, race, and I guess being queer, whatever that means. But she does that time and time again. And it's interesting to sit back and watch corporate media call her out on all of it. They were also compliant too. And if she had any sets, plural, of cojones, she would actually go out there and call them out. One would think. One would think. She'd actually say, well, what about you? I mean, you were around him too. MSNBC had access to the president. Did you see anything? But not very smart. Not very smart. That's why she doesn't take on serious jobs. Before that, she was an activist. I don't even know how she landed at the podium, besides obviously the three cards that she was able to pull. There had to be more qualified candidates for that position, but her background in bulk was always, always just about that. I want to turn to clip 9 because Stephen Miller is doing what I've been talking about for years now, and I'm so excited that he's coming forward with this and doing this because the crime statistics all around the country have intentionally been falsified, but specifically in D.C. is what he's focused on. Take a listen on how he goes after these wrongful crime stats.
We've uncovered, in the process of uncovering, a massive scandal in Washington, D.C., with the doctoring of crime stats. And the Department of Justice, under the Attorney General, is leading the effort to uncover this. But when we ultimately share the results, it will stun you. The extent to which, even though D.C. had the worst crime in America, honestly measured, it dramatically understated how bad it was. There's even accusations that murders and homicides were reported as accidents instead of murders. I mean, this is how severe the manipulation of the crime data has been in the city, and it will all be uncovered and it will all be brought to light. You know, I've had a chance to spend some time, as is everyone here, with the police officers in the city. Members of the public are going up to them and thanking them, just overflowing with gratitude.
You see, that's the problem here, is that they have been doing this for far too long. Now, I have not heard of murders being wrongfully categorized. That would be a bombshell. But we do know, we've talked about it before, that they are intentionally, inaccurately displaying race on arrest reports. The guy who was arrested, the last I looked, I'd have to look for the updated one to see if they ever fixed it, but the guy who was arrested for harassing me and stalking me, the charges he's facing are criminal trespassing, though. He was put off as Indian, even though he's Middle Eastern. And so there's a lot of issues with that where they don't want to booster some crime stats, and so they manipulate them. We also see it all the time with transgender individuals, biological men who are being arrested for crimes, crimes that are egregious, crimes that biological women would never actually commit. Well, they are intentionally flagging them as women. Now, what does that do for the crime stats regarding, like the legitimate crime stats regarding women who are being accused of violent crimes? It boosters female crime stats, as if we are violent. Most women aren't violent, and they know that, but they're looking to boost those numbers. They also love to boost the numbers of white people committing violent crimes because those numbers weren't high. And so, well, you've definitely seen it. I know I've seen it a lot in Houston when I'm looking over court records or any type of arrest records. I'm like looking at someone who's very, very dark in complexion being labeled as white. You see, you can't trust any of the crime stats that have come out, I would just say. I mean, I know it's been going on for a while, but anything post-2020 at this point, because they saw that we were able to sit there and give a rebuttal. I was able to read out stats that proved that crime was being heavily committed by those who were minority groups, and they didn't like that. So now what they have to do is they have to flood the rest of our crime stats. There was also the other element to all of this, that they weren't intentionally reporting the crime statistics. They were just completely neglecting to bring in certain cities into the federal FBI crime statistics. We saw all of this. So when Joe Biden and everyone else was telling you, oh, crime's down, it wasn't down. It wasn't actually down. It was created to appear to be down, but that's because they were intentionally misleading the American people by not including all of the crime stats. Now, it wasn't just that. I've told you here on this show, people like Andrew Chris Cuomo decided to push forward criminal justice reform, which is a criminal bill of rights. And what he did was he tried his very best to make sure that those of who are the victims of crimes wouldn't come forward to report it. They didn't want to put on the record. Why? How? Well, he had the criminal justice reform shoved into the state's 2019 budget over in New York. And ultimately, nobody was able to read through it all. But what it did is it allowed criminals to get more rights than the actual victims. Now, what do I mean by that? You're a female and you are assaulted by someone who gropes you on a subway, which happens literally every day in New York City, since it's filled with perverts. What happens to you? Well, if you're dealing with a nice member of law enforcement, you're informed that this criminal might actually have access to your personal information, that they actually might cough up, if they request it, your address, your phone number, your contact information is handed over to the defense. So that creepy guy on the subway who just happened to grab your butt, well, you might know where you live now. Now, obviously, if you're a victim, you're not going to want that to happen. So you're very likely going to pass on filing criminal charges. So when we talk about how deep this all goes, it goes significantly deeper than what you've just heard. There are people who have not filed criminal charges because they were too afraid. It's the reason why when crimes happen to me these days, I don't care how minor people think it is, I push to make sure there is some type of recording of those records. I've spoken to friends who work in law enforcement in New York. One incident occurred. I'll give you a little detail about this one. Officer tells me, you know, I personally was dealing with someone who called police because someone had pulled a firearm on them during a traffic dispute. Now, that officer had to inform this person that, yes, he pulled a gun on you, and we could get him for that, but if you want to file charges specifically related to this issue, I have to warn you, as a victim, I'm going to have to tell you that potentially we're going to have to give over your contact information to the guy that just pulled a gun on you. Obviously not someone who's rational. So if you want to file these charges, they're going to have to know your personal information. Well, if you're a person who lives in fear because you live in New York State and self-defense is illegal, you're probably not going to file those charges. And that is how crime stats have been manipulated over the years. So again, not surprising, not shocking, nothing new. Nothing new at all. Folks, if you haven't done so already and you want to talk about some of the stories we've covered so far, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in about, I'd say about 10 minutes. I know people are calling in right now. We only want to talk about the stories that we have covered so far. So I want to make sure I get to everyone on the lines, and I respect all of you for your time. So of course, give us a ring. All right, I want to turn to this next story because I was listening to this News Nation report and was infuriated. We're going to talk about a man who was accused but did take a plea. He is now 19 years old, but at the time he was 17 years old. His name is Jesse Mack Butler. He just recently escaped a prison sentence because, well, he was 17 years old when he was accused of raping two 16-year-old girls in Oklahoma. Now, the details are very graphic, and I will warn you of that, but this is a story you must listen to. Take a listen to Clip 10.
A police affidavit says a girl who's identified only as LS because she's a minor dated Jesse Butler for about 3 months, starting in January of last year. She was 16 at the time. And during that time, the victim said Butler repeatedly raped and attempted to rape her and would strangle her if she refused. The teenage girl needed surgery to repair the damage done to her neck by the strangulation. And her doctor told her that she would have died had that strangulation lasted another 30 seconds. The girl said that she gave in to Jesse Mack Butler because he threatened to kill her and he threatened to kill her family if she didn't give in. A separate affidavit says in March of last year, Butler took up with another 16-year-old girl identified only as KS. And that relationship lasted 6 months, but this teenager also said that Butler was aggressive and violent with her and says she went along with all the unwanted sex to avoid being hurt further. This victim also said that one time when she did refuse, Butler strangled her too. But get this. He recorded himself strangling her until she passed out. And lest you think this might be just a he said, she said, police later found that video on Jesse Mack Butler's phone. So that's what we call evidence. Jesse Butler pleaded not guilty to everything, as was his right off the bat. But in the coming months, for reasons that I will not pretend tonight to understand, the DA's office struck a deal with Butler's lawyers to change his status from adult to youthful offender. The victim's families begged the DA, please do not do that. Please, no. But in July, a judge decided to sign off on this. And in August, Jesse Mack Butler changed his plea from not guilty to no contest, meaning he knew there was ample evidence to convict him. And you should know that a conviction is the result of a no contest plea, right? That's what you get, convicted. By the way, I mentioned there were 10 counts before, but by August, there was one more. So the grand tally now stood at 11. The new count was for violating a protective order, which, oh my God, facing 10 felony counts and violating a protective order should have been a hell of a red flag for anybody, somebody. But the very same day that happened, Butler was sentenced to 78 years in prison, which sounds like a fitting punishment for somebody who nearly kills two teenage girls and rapes them repeatedly with all sorts of things. But as a youthful offender, Jesse Mack Butler was also entitled to special treatment, like a rehabilitation plan, which was drawn up by the Oklahoma Office of Juvenile Affairs. And that plan was presented to the court last week. This new punishment called for daily check-ins, weekly counseling, a curfew, no social media, and 150 hours of community service. Bam! They really brought down the hammer, huh? 150!
Yeah, as if that wasn't egregious enough, folks. That's what's going on right now. And it's not just happening in Oklahoma. This isn't a rare incident. This is happening all across the country. These prosecutors are cutting deals because they think they're just dealing with kids and they need a second opportunity in life. And I would argue those, especially those without fathers in their lives, definitely should have some tools to correct their behavior because, again, you were dealt a really bad deck of cards, but we're talking about rape here. We're talking about two girls who were 16 years old who were choked out, unconscious, whose lives are probably forever destroyed from what happened to them. So this is something that's going on all around the country, and I want to keep highlighting it because, as many of you guys know, I started off my career obviously doing sports, but also hyper-focused on the crime-related issues, sexual assault specifically, and I've watched it, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. These prosecutors are cutting deals because they think they're dealing with kids. And so they claim that these are just children and they just need to give it a second opportunity to go out there. It's not just happening, again, there. Let me just give you some background, too. Last I've heard, and we don't have the specifics yet, but I keep hearing from sources here in Travis County that they're looking to reduce the charges against even the individuals accused of murdering Jamie White. Those four teens were charged with capital murder at one point. From my understanding, there's been some reduction in charges there. It's not just that, too. Another murder in Travis County that's related, I believe, very a lot of similarities to what happened in Jamie. It also involved a car being jacked from a family here in Austin, Texas. Two of those teens have seen their capital murder charges dropped. I could confirm at least that one. And here's the problem, too, is when they're kids, their records are blocked from the media, blocked from anyone from being able to see it. So you can only go on what you're hearing. You can't really sit there and verify. Prosecutors won't tell you anything. Judges definitely won't let you anywhere near the courtroom because they do a better job of protecting the actual criminals, the alleged criminals, rather than the victims. And so time and time again, they are reducing these charges against people who are accused of heinous crimes, thinking that they could somehow, some way, restore them. Have you ever heard of someone accused of murder when they were 16 years old somehow go back, get reformed, and then goes on to lead a massive corporation or become an active member of our service or become a just someone contributing to our communities. I've never heard of one case of that. I've never heard of a reformed rapist. I've never heard of a reformed pedophile. I've never heard of someone who is somehow, some way able to fix their behaviors from when they were a teen and they were accused of those types of heinous crimes. I've never heard of it. We live in a society that somehow, some way thinks that they could create this rare, rare occasion of reforming these individuals, but they can't. We can't. Some people we can't save. And we need to stop sitting there and pretending like we can save them. We cannot save them. When you're accused and somehow you take a plea deal because the evidence is overwhelming of rape by several girls, two of them exact, how do you fix a kid when they're 17 years old doing just that? Now, obviously, there's a lot to blame there. It sounded like from the reports that his father was present, so that's just a very rare case. But it sounds like probably someone who was watching too much porn, a teenager who had access to pornography and should have been saved, should have been stopped, should have been prevented. But again, we don't know the answers to that. He somehow, some way thought it was normal to rape 16-year-old girls and continue to choke them until they were unconscious. Those are the allegations he was facing. He took a plea in that. So again, you're going to continue to hear that there's an avenue of reforming these people. I don't think that there is. I don't think there ever will be an avenue to reform these people. I think we're dealing with people who are beyond saving at this point. I know not many people want to actually admit that, but we have to admit that. We have to admit there's a lot of wrong here. And so we'll continue to follow these stories. But again, you know, nothing's been made official yet in Jamie's murder case. But Travis County has a habit of slapping down these cases, these charges, to the bare minimum because they deem that these suspects are redeemable. Now, I, for one, am not someone who has that level of empathy. I do not have empathy for someone who takes a life, who pulls a trigger. It's not just some innocent car theft case. These kids had no problem putting a bullet into Jamie and then running off and fleeing and leaving him there to die. There was no remorse. Maybe remorse now that they've been caught. We wouldn't know anyway. We're not allowed in the courtroom. But the two minors in the case might get off easy. We'll continue to follow that story. You know, folks, when the two 17-year-olds in that case have their day in court, if they have their day in court, and if Travis County doesn't take a crappy plea agreement, I will be in that courtroom. That is one story we're never going to let up on, of course, because obviously Jamie worked here. He was a patriot, but he's someone who we are going to continue to fight for. We're not going to allow Jamie White's murderers to get off, no matter what the Travis County District Attorney's Office, the Soros-funded scumbags who continue to allow murderers and other violent criminals off the hook. Folks, again, I want to remind you all to stay in touch with us. Best way to do so, head on over to the alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. Head on over there right now. Download the app. When you do just that, you're going to get a 20% off promo code to use over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over. I'll be taking your calls, too. If you haven't called in, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. We only want to hear from those who want to talk about the content we covered in the show just this last couple of minutes. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539.
I have said thousands of times, and I have said this hundreds of times to Trump personally, sometimes five, six times when I'm talking to him. Please stop saying it's on accident. Please stop saying they're incompetent. We can send you all the documents. It's on purpose. Here's who runs it. Here's who does it. Now, that was 8-9 years ago and off and on throughout that. Now he's got all his advisors, or most of them, and all the evidence, and you hear him more and more saying the Democrats are kamikazes. It's all on purpose. They hate America. They're Satanists. They want to bring us down. It's all premeditated. Yes, 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 because it's the truth. And when you tell the public, oh, they're idiots. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they're so incompetent. Yeah, their constituents are, but not the people running it. It's the exact same leftist New World Order, BlackRock, UNWEF program all over the frickin' world. It is a premeditated evil attack, in their own damn words. They are villains. It's not like, oh, they're just misguided fools. No, this is on purpose, people. That's what the Great Reset is. They're doing it on purpose. It's on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose, on purpose. So this is what they do. They're scum, the opposite of competence, the opposite of trying to deliver success and excellence, because they want to demoralize you and break your will. Remember how Gavin Newsom went, yeah, we can clean up San Francisco and L.A. anytime we want, but we only did it for Xi Jinping. He just went, ha, 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 ha. And as soon as he's gone, we're going to have everybody crap everywhere and murder and kill and zombie and needles everywhere. You remember? You want to see the clip?
I know folks say, oh, they're just cleaning up this place because all those fancy leaders are coming into town. That's true, because it's true.
Because they love rubbing it in. Well, of course now San Francisco's had crime growing out 98% in the last month, and it's totally clean. Yeah, we could have done it all along. But we ain't doing it for you, you dumb sacks of garbage. If the globalists are successful and we're in a giant collapse depression and you leftists are starving to death later, just remember you and your bosses did this. We're going back to feudalism, which is the most common political system in history, where the elites all over the world, whether it was in Africa or Asia or Europe or Mesoamerica, they kept people starving and under control and super poor so that they could never move out of that lower slave class. And America has been about getting rid of that. Doesn't mean we've been perfect, but damn it, we've done the best job. And they want to flush that down the toilet. Ooh, ah! And they're close to crashing the whole thing. And it's going to crash the whole world economy with 9 billion people. And all the actuaries are clear. War, carnage. I mean, it's just going to be hell, whole world. And the globalists said they're engineering it. They believe they'll bring in their world government through that. But a lot of experts went, no, actually, you're all going to get destroyed, too. That's why a lot of elites said, pull back, it's too crazy, don't do it. Exactly. Even if you're evil and agree with the plan, it won't work. It's over. Disengage it now. It may already be too late. Trump's trying to save us, but you won't get out of the way.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're taking your calls. We've got a couple of people on the line. I'm excited about this because a lot going on all around the world. And I want to hear from you. It's related to topics we've covered on the show thus far. We want you to give us a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I respect everyone's time and who calls to the show. And so the goal here is to stick with those who are on topic. So we look forward to doing just that. My first caller, apparently, he's got a bit of a disagreement with me today. So we'll take him up first. Welcome to the show, Savage Dog. It's good to hear from you, my friend. How's life?
Hey, good morning. I'm blessed. Well, it's about a 6-7. first, before we start, since everybody wants me to run, I'm going to announce my first cabinet pick, and that'll be J.D. DeLay. I don't know if you ever saw him on YouTube, but he's an ex-con who's he's going to be my hookup of Chomo's are. He believes in the wood chipper penalty.
I can endorse that. I like that.
Yeah, we're going to put him in feet first. It's going to be a coin flip whether or not it works properly, and then if they survive, we'll just throw them in the general population legless, see how they make it. But so far as these boats, now I don't know why they said it was a disagreement. It's kind of a agreement. I don't believe that we should be blowing these boats up. And I'm going to do another joke. I just saw Cocaine Bear. Do we really, you know, we're blowing up all these fentanyl boats. Do we really want fentanyl sharks off our coast? That's,
yeah. Hey, you raise a valid like point. That. Yeah.
Yeah. That.
Okay. I wonder.
So the serious point. Okay, we're blowing these boats up. Number one, we're blowing up all this evidence where if we went and captured the boats, you know, that I saw that picture of a daytime picture. They had, it looked like, I don't know, 10, 55-gallon drums of fentanyl on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
If we capture this and we start lining these barrels up and showing American people, look, we're saving lives by doing this, is the first, you know, first thing. Also the optics, right? Like, okay, if we just blow these things up, it's the easy option. And it's just generating bad optics. And, you know, although everything that they're saying on the mainstream media is just fake news and like whatever they can to make Trump look bad, this does look bad. And number three, it's the intelligence. Like you said, these might be low level people who are being blackmailed or not blackmailed. I don't know what you'd call it, extorted, threatened into doing this. And so I don't know about their innocence so much as it does suck. But if we capture these guys, we might be able to get a lot of good intelligence on where to lace the target, so to speak, and start hitting these factories from the air.
Yeah.
And that's something we don't if these guys are terrorist organization, I don't think we need Congress, at least for 60 days anyway, to get permission to go blow up fentanyl factories. So you got human intelligence that we're blowing up. We got evidence of the trafficking that Venezuela's doing. And speaking of that, I think that if we gather enough evidence, we could probably go to the useless world court and say, this is crimes against humanity. Maduro's allowing these fentanyl factories to run, killing people everywhere. You know, they're not just going to the United States, they're going everywhere. So, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons to not blow it up. The only reason I see to blow them up is that you're going to put coasties in danger. And, you know, I'm a Marine, and we give the coasties, you know, a lot of crap. But they actually have the hardest day-to-day job. You know, they got to save knuckleheads on their yachts in a hurricane. They got to go after these banana boats. They got a really tough job. But if you had like destroyer protection, you know, had a whole unit, you know, swarm these boats and capture them, the benefits of capturing rather than just blowing them up is tremendous. So long as we can keep our guys safe. That's all I got.
Yeah. Well, no, I agree with you. And it's great. So when I first saw the videos coming up, I was like, oh, this is great. But then I like put a little bit more thought into it. I'm like, I don't know how great this is. Fentanyl sharks sound really scary. And I kind of wonder too, what are the long-term effects of blowing up all of this fentanyl into the streets? I mean, this is probably a live shot of what it would look like. But you know, we joke, but again, I actually want to find out who these people are that are on these boats. I don't think that these are the bad guys. And I don't even know. I know Savage Dog, you think that you might be able to get some intel from them. I feel like the cartels wouldn't send them on this voyage if they knew where the things were coming from. So they might just be so low level, they have no insight on any of this. But I think it'd be worth our while to kind of figure that out. Also, from my understanding, the submarine that was blown up, apparently those two individuals, I think one came from Colombia. They sent them back to their country to face criminal charges after the strike. So, again, it's like a toss-up for me. I haven't really been sold on all of this. But, Savage Dog, I want to thank you for calling to the show. It's always great to hear from you, my friend. And, you know, we'll keep sitting back and watching. But, again, also, I mean, if somebody were to make some claim and say that these boats weren't carrying drugs in them, how do we prove it if we just struck it? So the evidence is gone. So that could be problematic. I want to turn to Tim in Seattle. Tim, it looks like you want to weigh in on our food stamps issue that we were talking about earlier today. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brianna. Fantastic show as usual.
Thank you.
Just want to warn the American people. You have local distribution centers that the national grocery chains have built and stuff, and they supply, but they only have 3 days of food within them. Every national grocery distribution center only has 3 days of food to supply the area that they're supplying. Now, if people start attacking those stores or robbing those stores, there's no obligation whatsoever for those stores to open up their doors or place orders from those distribution centers. When COVID hit, I worked at the Amazon Fresh distribution center, and there was military guarding it before the lockdowns even started. There was already military in the parking lot guarding that facility just in case things popped off. So I'm just saying they're not going to fill the stores. They have zero obligation. What will happen is that before the trucks even get to the stores to be unloaded, they will be attacked in the parking lot and emptied there. So there's no, it's not safe for a driver to come out with a full 53-foot trailer full of food and think that they're going to get it in the shelves. That's just not feasible. So we really have a crisis brewing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Tim, tell me a little bit about the toilet paper crisis during the pandemic, because I always thought it was strange that we ran low on toilet. You know, that was coming. I always thought it was strange, and maybe you have some answers for me, but as to how the stores ran out so quickly.
Amazon was stockpiling it all, and probably throughout the entire area. Yeah, we had in the distribution center that I worked at, we had cleared out maybe a third of the warehouse itself and just stored toilet paper and paper towels. Mm. They shipped them all to Amazon. It was an artificial scarcity.
Ah, yeah, I figured there was something going on behind the scenes, and how interesting that was. But I think you're probably right on that front too. I know Alex, actually, I was listening to him, I think yesterday, he was talking about how he thinks that they will start attacking and this will definitely lead to violence. I think that this is going to be a massive issue for us here. I just think it's so crazy that there are over 40 million people, 43 million people who are on the welfare system itself, on SNAP benefits, and how reliant they've become on it. Maybe that's also why Democrats, I mean, you could add it to the reason why Democrats keep pushing for folks to be reliant on the government, that when they need their advocates, when they need them to apply pressure, that when that day does come, that they will start attacking these trucks, and it will apply a little pressure for Republicans to have to take a knee to whatever their agenda is they're pushing. So it works in their favor. And it pushes the fact that they don't really have much in the way of urgency on this issue. So, Tim, I appreciate you calling in. I think that's an interesting angle, and I think you're probably very, very true on that. We'll have to just sit back and wait and see. I mean, we're not too far away from November 1st, so we'll find out very, very soon if that's the case. We're also seeing the videos on TikTok that are circulating. People are posting that if they don't get their food stamp benefits, they will attack. So you're probably spot on the money with that one. I want to turn to Dustin in Ohio. Dustin, I hear you want to keep the shutdown food stamps tone, so welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hey, good morning, Brianna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted first, real quick, I just want to thank Alex Jones. I know, you know, it's your show, but he saved my life. I credit him because 15 years ago, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I heard him speaking about there's going to be a virus, and there's going to be the vaccine, which the vaccine's going to be kill people, and I got a king risk. You know, and it's just incredible. God really bestowed a blessing with them. But your show goes, and the products too, the ultimate. I got the ultimate methylene blue, and also I got some of the the moss.
Sea moss.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, the sea moss. Yeah, and since I've been taking it, I've been feeling great. But yeah, I just wanted to point out what's going on with the food stamps. You know, when the funding actually stops with the food stamps. I'm really afraid that the rioting is going to, you know, really take off. And actually, my mom called me this morning, and she's about half panicked, you know. And I was like, well, it's like, you know, if it comes to – because we live out in an Amish country. I mean, we got – you know, I live on a 128-acre farm. So,
you know, she's worried about people, you know, starving, coming in from the cities and, you know, trying to, you know, get food. I mean, you know, but when you take somebody's food away and they can't provide for their kids or family, you know, I mean, you know, what would you do if your family's starving?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really a scary situation, and it's just troublesome to think about.
Yeah.
I hope that what Trump needs to do, I think he's planning on doing, by these tariffs, he's creating a parallel economy. And the use of the blockchain and Bitcoin and stuff, mm-hmm. then we don't have to rely on the Federal Reserve to borrow money off of them. And that being the case, you know, if we don't have to borrow money, because they're like the base of all corruption. Since 1913, the Federal Reserve Act passed, and since then it's been a perpetual down. You know, I mean, they attempted to seize control, and then the Great Depression was just, you know. Who was it in New York that owned a newspaper and they published rumors about a certain bank going bankrupt, and they basically caused a panic, and then everybody started selling their stocks, and it basically, you know, it caused million people without work, and there's a lot of people who died from that. So
yeah,
I think the ultimate. What needs to happen ultimately is get rid of the Federal Reserve and get a form of income that's not based on debt, that's based on wealth, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, that would be a great idea, but, Dustin. And I want to thank you for calling in today. I want to thank you for your opening remarks as well. You know, the reasons why people listen to InfoWars is, I mean, it's kind of like a prediction of the future and where everything's going and direction it's heading in. So it's great to hear your input on how Alex helped you out with that front. But it's also great to hear how the vitamins over at thealexjonesstore.com have also helped you. So thank you for that. And I think that's probably what's going to happen in regards to the food stamp comments you made after all of that. I think people will get violent. I mean, they're already threatening it on social media. So, hey, listen, I mean, if you're watching this show, chances are you are prepared. This is nothing that is new to you. We've prepared you on this show for the potential of violence that might take place in this country due to left-wing violence or just this in itself. So, you know, we all stay ready to defend ourselves if we have to, but I think there will be a lot of issues with all of this. And it's just Democrats have viewed it. I mean, we heard the whip leader last week talk about how specifically how they were going to use this as a moment to push their agenda, even if a couple of families can't feed their kids. So they don't care. And so this is the moment for those on the left, and I think they're going to take full advantage of that. Dustin, I want to thank you again for calling into the show. We appreciate it. I'm going to get to Sean as well, New York, because, Sean, it sounds like you want to keep at it with that same topic of discussion. So welcome.
Captain Ground Call reporting for duty, ma'am.
Well, it's great to have you back on, my friend. How are you?
Good. So we went to go rent a couple of box trucks recently, and we were told that all the box trucks are rented out. And one of the guys had said, somebody mentioned that there's going to be a food shortage, so they're going to need to fill these box trucks with food. I'm not quite sure exactly when. I believe they said Saturday. There's going to be the cutoff of SNAP and food assistance programs
here
in New York.
The 1st of November, yeah.
So yeah, we're looking at probably total anarchy November 1st. So I'm not sure how it is in Texas, but in New York, you can't get a box truck. So I'm just curious as to what our next plan should be. I've been telling everybody you better have a plan B and a plan C, because once plan A doesn't work, well, we might have to go full throttle here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, prayers for those in New York, because here in Texas, I would assume we're not going to get too crazy. It looks like nearly 3 million New Yorkers are facing the loss of their SNAP benefits come November 1st.
Do you remember when we had the blackout here in New York City?
This summer, yeah.
Okay. Well, no, the blackout, you know, it was years ago, but by the third day, they were already looting all the stores. They were already jumping into dumpster diving for food in Pathmark parking lot and all the other food stores that had to throw the food out after the third day of not having power. I'm just curious, if in 3 days people are jumping in dumpster diving for food, what's going to happen when it's really at its end? So what happens when the food ends? Do we start eating each other? I mean, Alex used to say, I'll eat, fry up my neighbor. You know, are we coming to that point?
Well, I hope not. I hope not. My neighbors, I wouldn't want to eat them. So I hope we don't get to that point. But, you know, all jokes aside, I mean, I've been prepared. I know I'm a food prepper and everyone thinks I'm a train wreck for being that way. And everyone thinks we're a bunch of crazies for prepping, but I'm ready to go.
Don't you guys sell the prepackaged food just in case?
Is that what are we currently selling that anymore?
No,
not anymore.
See, perfect timing.
I know. Well, Sean, if you're not busy, we might need you in the pitch meeting later today. we'll get back on that.
I actually have a how to fillet your neighbor cookbook coming out.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that'd be gross. But you know, we have imported a lot of people from very questionable areas. So that's very, very likely, Sean. No, I mean, listen, I think in Texas, we might be a little better off than those in New York. Here in Texas, you know, I think people fear the Second Amendment. I know it's something that, has been, blocked and prevented and infringed on in New York. And so I hope everyone's ready there. But, you know, if we get to that point, then yeah, you got to be ready to defend yourself and your family. But I'm going to follow up on that box truck stuff and call around here in Texas and see if that's the same issue that we're having locally here too. Cause I'd be very curious to see if it's a national issue. So I'll get back to you on that if the answer is yes, and we'll talk about that probably on the show tomorrow. But, Sean, I want to thank you for all the great things you're doing in New York. Love hearing from you, my friend, so thank you for calling in again today, of course. Let's turn to Darla in California, who also would like to talk about food assistance. Darla, welcome to the program.
Hi. I was thinking of a way Trump could be a hero if somehow he could get the card money, the EBT and the other card, if he could get that money from his donors, look at the money he's gotten.
Yeah.
Already for other things. If he could get the money from the donors up and have an emergency broadcast to tell people, we're going to get you the money. You're going to have money for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and then he can fix the problem. We can work our way out of those cards. But we just can't pull the cards away from everyone and leave them hungry. It's going to be violent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I
know that he can do that. But if he could, the voters he would have, his promises made, promises kept, it would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way he can do that?
If Darla, if there's anyone who could figure it out, it's definitely President Trump. And I would love to see if he could do that. That would be great. I think for those who are reliant on government assistance, who don't actually need it, though, I think this would be a great way for us to start getting them off of it. I mean, there's so many videos that I'm... Darla, I'll let you talk.
Do that after we got through this disaster that's going to happen. And then we start with the program and we fix it.
Yeah.
And Alex has the phone number to Trump. He could call him today and tell him, get the money out there and slow down the terror that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we'll sit back and we'll watch, of course. You know, there's a lot of people who I'm watching on social who shouldn't be receiving benefits, but they are. And they're literally just reproducing just to get extra benefits. And I think it's disgusting that this is happening. But those are the people that need to be forced off the system. So I think it will be a good conversation starter for that front. But we'll see. You know, if President Trump could get it done, he was just able to secure a donor. And you saw how the left acted when he was able to secure payroll for the military. They weren't happy because they were looking to hold our service members hostage. So I'm pretty sure he's on it. I'd like to see the charities step it up in this country. There are so many nonprofits who are receiving billions and billions of dollars. I'd like to see them step up to the plate and make sure that those who are in need actually do have food on the table. Now is their time. Now is how they earn those nonprofit statuses. So this would be a great time to do that. And also it's a good indicator to pull people off of government assistance and say, look, we have enough charity in this country. We don't need taxpayer funding to go towards that. These companies have been incentivized long enough to help out. So we'll keep our eyes open, though, Darla. I want to thank you for calling in, of course. Jen in Georgia. Jen, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you on.
Hey, Rihanna.
Hi, Jen.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the methylene blue. I have not taken any supplements of any kind for, I don't know how long, years. And so I figured right now is the best time. I've been gaining a little bit of my weight back. I've lost like 50 pounds in the past, and then I started gaining it. So I'm kind of going back onto that treadmill, and I started buying the first, I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones store. Uh-huh. And I keep hearing people talking about the methylene blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is that it was kind of disappointing at first because I didn't get the sensations that a lot of other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife. And whenever you're at home day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the methylene blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today. So I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I care about his health too. And I've read online that's really good for your dog if you give him like a small little amount with the food. So I'm going to do that. I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with it so far. So.
Well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. And we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, what so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. I have, you know, gone back and forth with the tablets, the drops. Drops are my favorite. It's where I feel it the most. Jen, we have about 10 seconds. Which one are you taking? Are you taking the drops or the tablets?
I am taking the capsules because I don't want my tongue to be blue.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I will say it does turn your pee blue, so that's kind of weird. But, you know, other than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome, though.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. That's the one disclaimer. Well, thank you for calling, Jen. Everyone, it's the alexjonesstore.com. Head on over there. We'll be right back. If you're on hold, we'll take your calls in the next hour, so don't go anywhere.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true, it's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because if there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the American Journal, kicking off the third hour of the show with a little bit of breaking news, of course. But for those of you on the lines right now, stay put. We'll take the calls. Again, we'll resume taking calls in about 30 minutes. So we'll do about another 10 minutes worth of calls because we still have headlines to dive into. So if you're there, I know I see a couple of you still present. Hang tight. We'll get through a couple more of those after we do, I'd say about like 35 minutes. So stay put there. Folks, we just received this report, and it comes from the Miami Herald. Ultimately, they're saying that the Nicolas Maduro regime has said that they've captured alleged individuals who are looking to overthrow mercenaries. We're looking to overthrow, obviously, the regime. They're claiming that these individuals have ties to the CIA and are accused of working with and trying to coordinate the military exercise, which, you know, again, I don't think this sounds strange. But in a statement released by the vice president, the socialist government said the arrests revealed what it described as a false flag operation planned from waters bordering Trinidad. Guys, the region itself is none of this makes any sense to me. Now, hear me out. I cannot imagine why we're doing all this, why we're ramping up so aggressively hard. And I'm trying to, like, you know, throw some ideas back and forth. Maybe it's the oil. I just don't understand why we're so hyper-focused on this region right now. Obviously, drugs are coming from all over the area, and to be focused on Venezuela itself sounds concerning. Now, it's probably also why Nicolas Maduro, according to reports, and I don't think President Trump even debunked it, wanted to make an offer regarding oil and see if they want to do some business in that angle, and he shot it down. So it might not be about oil, the control of oil. The whole thing just sounds really strange to me. I know obviously there's been a bounty placed on Maduro's head, so obviously that would incentivize those to go in and try their very best to capture the Venezuelan leader. He's someone who is not obviously allowing others to take over. He has these fake elections and pretends like he continues to win the elections. Again, a lot of really strange things here. Now, this report, again, just coming out, and it's a real head-scratcher, I must say, because I don't understand, again, why this would be happening in the first place. Now, again, I wouldn't also take much in the way of information coming out from Nicolas Maduro to be valid. So we'll just throw that story out there and kind of let it linger for now. But we tell you about the stories, even if I think that they're probably not 100% accurate. We tell you everything the corporate media is talking about, so you guys know exactly what's going on, so you don't have to go through the pain of having to read through this stuff. We do our best to keep you informed on that front. So that's what's going on right now over there. Now, we're going to have Raw Egg Nationalist on in just a moment, because a lot happening that he's covering for us over at Infowars.com. And there's three key stories that we want to highlight for you. Plus, I want to throw in another kind of spare story and kind of question for him. And it has to do with the Islamic takeover of New York City right now. He's sounding off about that, so we look forward to having him on, of course. And again, for those of you looking to call, or if you're on hold right now, we will take your calls in about, I'd say, about 30 minutes. We'll get through a couple more of them, and we'll switch it back over to the stories, because I've got like an arsenal of stories that we have to get to, of course. So a lot going on in the news world today, a lot we're trying to jam in there. I look forward to doing just that. We're going to be talking about, obviously, something that I continue to hover over. And I was probably one of the very first to bring your attention to this. So many people, and it's so upsetting, but so many people are now talking about the election in New York City, because obviously it's a communist who's taking over, but they're very focused on the religion angle from all of this. I told you, let's focus on the communist angle of all of this, because those on the left will use it to make it seem like Zohran Mamdani's a victim in here, that we're all just targeting a Muslim man. That's not the case. He is a commie. He is someone who has been propped up. He has deep ties to the communist movement that's going on. His father, also another scumbag. So they are trying their very best to pry him up and to let him take over New York City. It would be crazy to allow London to be taken over by someone I believe is a jihadist, as well as Zohran Mamdani. So we've got a lot to talk about, too, on that front. So do not go anywhere. In the meantime, make sure you download that app, AJN Live app. Head on over right now, AlexJonesApp.com, AlexJonesApp.com. Download the app right now. We'll be right back.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, LexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him. While
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, like on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot to talk about. There's a lot of changes happening within our federal government. President Trump making good on his promise to go after the cartels and other violent criminals looking to destroy this country. And there's some changes going on right now that we wanted to highlight. If you haven't done so already, let me just tell you, Infowars.com has some of the most incredible reporters behind the scenes, and they're putting together all these pieces, bringing you the information that you need to read. So if you haven't done so already, it is a great platform to just incorporate with your daily routine. Head on over there and to check out the stories we're working on. This was a story that was brought to us by Raw Egg Nationalists, and it has to do with the FBI and Homeland Security establishing a new task force to combat foreign gangs and cartels operating internally in the United States. And joining me now to discuss is the man behind the article to break down the very latest. I want to welcome you to the show, my friend. It's good to have you on. I know I've had you on my podcast in the past, so it's great to have you here. You've done a great job over at Infowars.com. So tell us about the very latest report that you just broke down for us.
Yeah, so this is a very, very interesting report, actually. So a nationwide series of federal task forces has been established in order to fight gangs like Trenda Aragua, MS-13, and other gangs that have been identified as a national security threat by the president. So, you know, back in January, on January the 20th, the first day Trump was back in office, he put out an executive order saying, you know, we need to do something about these foreign criminal gangs that are in the U.S., that are a threat to national security, that are a threat to American citizens. Because, of course, you know, during the election, then there was a lot of focus on groups like Trenda Aragua in Aurora, Colorado, for example. There was that story about Trenda Aragua taking over apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado, and, you know, gun running, drug running, prostitution running, all of these illegal activities out of these complexes that they'd taken over. So that was a day one order by President Trump that, you know, the federal law enforcement needs to take on these gangs. And now this week, there's been an announcement. Yes, these task forces are being established. I mean, hundreds of foreign gang members have already been arrested. I think in the report I say something like 356 foreign gang members have been arrested or were arrested in the first 6 months of the new Trump administration. So, you know, hundreds of these people have already been picked up off the streets. But it's very clear, nevertheless, that there's still complex operations taking place, complex criminal operations by these transnational gangs, and they need to be taken very seriously and smashed by federal law enforcement. And, you know, this new order, the establishment of these new task forces is a major step towards doing that.
Do we know who would be on these task forces specifically? Do we have any insight on that?
Yeah, so it's going to be a variety of different federal agencies, FBI, DEA, I think ATF, Homeland Security, I think it's some CBP as well, Customs and Border Patrol. I think it's something like 15 different federal agencies are going to be coordinating across the nation, state to state, in efforts to break up these transnational gangs. So, I mean, it's a serious thing. It's a big thing. You know, a lot of resources are being thrown behind this, and rightly, because it is a tremendous threat, actually, to the safety of Americans and to national security.
Yeah, no, it is a big threat, and it's something that a lot of people have been living with in their communities with for far too long. I mean, I'm a Long Islander, so we had a big MS-13 gang problem, and you wouldn't expect it in the nice neighborhoods, but we were so close to it that there was always that looming threat. And so for those who are living in communities that have had to deal with this over these last few years, I just feel so bad for them. And so it's good to see on that front that our federal government, that the Trump administration is going to be moving forward to make sure that they are a top priority to secure them. Cause this shouldn't be a luxury just for the rich. We'll talk about Zohran Mamdani in a little bit, but I chuckle at him because he is their typical communist who believes that only he should have security. And he's pulling away these resources for so many Americans who need it, low income Americans as well. So it's a great comparison when you look at the two. We have President Trump who's making sure that these communities are being secure. And he's trying to make them safer, while you have the far left on the other side of all of this doing their very best to pull away these limited resources that they have currently. And so that really gives Americans something to look at. Speaking of that, though, I want to kind of shift things over a little bit, because you also wrote another piece regarding Russia. And this one's fascinating. So you're writing about how Russia has successfully tested a nuclear-powered cruiser missile, which looks like it potentially has unlimited range. Now, this was just announced yesterday by Vladimir Putin, according to your reporting on this. This is concerning, given national security stuff. You know, this would have a lot of people a little upset, or a little on edge, I should say. Break down this story for us as well.
Yeah, of course. So there's been talk for a long time, since about, I think, 2018, of Russia developing a nuclear-powered cruise missile. So that's a cruise missile that, like a nuclear submarine, has a nuclear reactor in it that can power it and basically give it unlimited range. And they've managed to do it. It was said that it would be impossible. Experts said, you know, you won't be able to do this. You won't be able to build a nuclear reactor that's kind of small enough to fit in a cruise missile. And there are all sorts of technical, problems that are insurmountable. Well, it looks like actually the Russians have done it. So they tested this new missile last week. I think it's called the Burevestnik 9M730. I was looking at my notes there. And they did a test flight of it. It flew for 15 hours, 14,000 kilometers. So that's about 8,500 miles, nearly 9,000 miles. So, I mean, this is a big game changer, and it's coming at a crucial time, I think, as the Ukraine war drags on. You know, I mean, Donald Trump made the audacious claim, before he came back into office, I'll end the Russia-Ukraine war overnight in 24 hours when I get back into power. That hasn't happened despite his best efforts. And I think Trump obviously earnestly wants to end the war. But nevertheless, he hasn't been able to do it. It's grinding on. We've had talk of the U.S. supplying Tomahawk cruise missiles to Ukraine in order to allow Ukraine to strike deep inside Russia, which is, you know, obviously an escalation and has been treated, the prospect has been treated as such by Vladimir Putin. He said, you know, if you do that, there will be very, very serious repercussions for you. Ukraine's European allies now, although the US won't give, Trump has said, no, I'm not going to give these Tomahawk missiles to Zelensky. Ukraine's European allies nevertheless have said, well, okay, you can use our long-range missiles. So there is the prospect now of much deeper strikes inside Russia. And so Russia is essentially sending a message. Russia is saying, look, well, okay, you're going to do that. Well, we've got this new nuclear-powered cruise missile that is invulnerable. That's what they're saying. They're saying there's no way you can shoot it down, and we can strike a target anywhere on Earth. So, and this can deliver a nuclear warhead, I believe. So, this is a big message. You know, the longer this war goes on, the more you threaten us. Well, you know, we can hit anywhere on the planet with a nuclear weapon. So it's alarming. I mean, The one upside to this, I suppose, is the fact that actually Russia doesn't have the infrastructure yet to deploy this cruise missile. So they've developed it and they've tested it and they know that it works, but they haven't got in place yet the infrastructure to use this missile on a either on an individual basis or as, you know, more widely as part of its kind of long range arsenal. So it's going to take them some time to deploy this, but nevertheless, it does potentially signal actually an even more dangerous new phase of the war, potentially if Donald Trump doesn't actually achieve peace.
Yeah, I think this is probably Vladimir Putin's way of also saying, I could be a little optimistic here and say that maybe he's just trying to force Ukraine to buckle down and to actually come to an agreement here, because I think Russia has incentives on why they'd want this to end now with all the lives that have been lost between both of them. It's really not beneficial for Russia at this point to continue this on. So, I mean, maybe that's what is going on here. I'm hopeful because peace would be quite lovely, I must say. But then again, you just never really know what's going on behind the scenes. But very important to note of that. I want to shift gears over too, since we're talking peace deal. You also wrote another piece regarding Israel continuing to target certain areas in Gaza. And I think this is interesting. You know, when I sat here and was reporting, and I didn't want to be overselling it to our audience. And again, our folks, this article is up on Infowars.com right now. I didn't want to sell it to our audience. I didn't want them to think that the phase one, when we saw the hostages being returned, that was it. There was going to be no more violence and it was an ultimate peace agreement. We kind of figured this was going to be a back and forth and not 100% finalized as of yet. You're hearing more and more, though, about the strikes that are taking place over the weekend, specifically in Gaza. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So we have a formal ceasefire in Gaza between Israel and Hamas. Israel has withdrawn to a demarcation line. It only occupies, I think, something like 53% of the Gaza Strip now, rather than, you know, I think close to 90% before. The Palestinians there's been a prisoner and a hostage exchange. But unfortunately, both sides are continuing to kill each other. They are still continuing to attack each other. There have been Hamas attacks on Israeli troops, and Israel has responded in kind with drone strikes, artillery barrages, airstrikes, etc. I mean, the Palestinian Authority or representatives of the Palestinian side are saying that Israel's killed something like 40 people since the ceasefire and injured well over 100. And I think that the Israelis have killed the Gazans, the Palestinians have killed quite a few Israeli troops too. So it's kind of the ceasefire is holding in a formal sense, but they're still basically attacking each other in a limited sense. And I think that what people need to understand about this is that, you know, the Palestinian side isn't unified. So there are various different factions, on the Palestinian side. Some of them want peace and some of them don't. And so it's a mistake to think that they're all, sort of pushing necessarily in the same direction. And actually, you know, you've got, more extreme groups, I think, more uncompromising groups like Islamic Jihad, for example, who want to continue the fighting. And I think this latest targeted strike that I reported on, this drone strike that the Israelis carried out, was actually on a member of the group Islamic Jihad. So it's still a fluid situation. And I think there's still a lot of potential, actually, for the ceasefire to come totally undone.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to sit back and watch all of this as it unravels. I know, you know, President Trump really wants it to be finalized and over and done with, but he's also telling Hamas that he has no problem with completely annihilating them if they don't meet their end of the bargain in all of this. So we'll just kind of wait and see. Hopeful, though. I just, you know, we want peace and we want all of this to end. But this is going to be a long, drawn out conclusion to the war. I have a feeling about that. Raw egg nationalist, before you go. My friend, I saw you were tweeting today about this clip, and this clip has me fired up. We're going to play clip 19 because it's Zohran Mamdani, the guy who's running for New York City mayor. He is trying his best to, let's say, push, and I warned you guys of this, he was going to push the fact that he is Muslim. He was going to push that onto voters and try to guilt those on the left to just supporting him regardless. And, of course, if you criticize him, you're Islamophobic. Take a listen.
When I Listen to the current mayor of this city explaining his decision to endorse Andrew Cuomo as a decision to ensure that New York City does not become Europe, that we do not leave it to violent extremists who burn churches in Nigeria. When I listen to all of this and then turn on TV and see ads that have the words of terrorism and jihad on top of my face that not only mock the way that I eat, but are all intended to terrify New Yorkers as to the prospect of having a Muslim mayor, I decided that it was simply too much. It was too much to think of these as the acts of desperate men looking to salvage the little power that they still had. It was, in fact, a reflection of Islamophobia within our political system that has become so endemic that when we hear it, we do not know from which party it comes. We just know that it is a fact of life in our city's politics. And amidst all of this, the focus of so many is just how much bigotry they can engage in.
So that's kind of what we assumed was going to happen, that he was going to lean on this and push that as the narrative. I just wanted your reaction to this, because obviously you've seen what's happened in the UK. London, I always highlight London for an example, because London was the big takeover at first, and now they're gunning for New York City next. And I always said to focus on the communism angle here, because I knew that they were going to play the Islam card and play victims to all of this. Just kind of your reaction to hearing that's what he's going with now that he's being criticized for making comments regarding 9/11 and how his aunt was the actual victim and all of that.
Yes, yeah, I'm not surprised that he's doing this. I mean, the whole kind of Islamophobia narrative has been a very, very powerful weapon that's been used throughout Europe, and especially in the UK, actually, in order to criminalize dissent and to criminalize legitimate criticism of Islam, legitimate criticism of, you know, things like the Pakistani grooming gangs in the UK, for example. You know, oh, you're an Islamophobe if you mention the religion of the Asian men who are, you know, raping, sexually assaulting, even murdering white girls in the tens of thousands because they're white and because they're non-Muslim. So, I mean, this is a well-established playbook, I would say, and I think it is a playbook. I mean, I don't know to what extent Zohran Mamdani actually is in any real sense a kind of earnest, pious Muslim. I don't know to what extent that is actually a part of his, you know, really a part of his identity. But, you know, I mean, there was a scandal about a week ago. He met with a Brooklyn imam who was an unindicted co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing in New York, which killed six people, including a pregnant woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, he posed for a smiling selfie picture, you know, with this guy who was linked to this fatal terrorist attack in New York. And then, of course, what happened 8 years later after that initial bombing? Well, then you had the planes flying into the Twin Towers. So a lot of questions to answer. And I think that people are obviously right to be very, very wary of this man, not just because he's a communist, but also because of everything that's happened in Europe, because of everything that's happened in London, because of the way that Islam is used, I think, politically as a weapon. But I'm not surprised to hear him talking about Islamophobia at all. It's been a very powerful political weapon, and it's been a very, very powerful way of stifling dissent and even criminalizing dissent.
Yeah, no, it has been. And we're gonna keep sitting back and watching on this one, because I don't think this ends well for New York City. But you know, I'm a little discouraged that people didn't speak up on this issue sooner. We probably could have saved it. I think now it's probably way too far gone at this point. This election, the polling numbers just don't seem to add up for a victory for any of the other candidates at this point. So it will be a sad day in America, but hopefully it's a lesson for many to learn. I want to thank you, Raw Egg Nationalist, for joining the show. Of course, you do an incredible job on Infowars.com, bringing us the very latest. So we appreciate all the great work you do. So thank you for joining, my friend.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, I want to keep it on the topic because I told you we were going to sound off about this in regards to Zohran Mamdani. Now, again, I tried my best and I told you guys at home to stay away from the religious issue to all of this because I thought they were going to drum up the victim role. And you didn't want to play into that. The big focus here was the communism angle to all of this. His father, well-rooted in the communist movement. And it was very obvious that he was as well. A lot of the times they do pose as socialists and they're able to push forward that agenda. But I wanted to continue to remind you about how this narrative regarding discriminatory behavior towards him for being Muslim was going to be drummed up a bit. We're going to play clip 11 for you because this one stirred up quite the controversy when he was apparently saying that his aunt was the real victim in all of 9/11 just because she was wearing a hijab. Take a listen.
I want to use this moment to speak to the Muslims of New York City. I want to speak to the memory of my aunt. Who stopped taking the subway after September 11th because she did not feel safe in her hijab.
Interesting enough, folks, I can't tolerate when men cry. That was fake crying, obviously. That was not real tears. And it's infuriating because, again, he's now drumming up the victim card. He is the victim after making outlandish comments, after posing in a photo with someone who is an unindicted co-conspirator, of course. And he now wants to play the victim in all of this because someone called him a jihadist and he doesn't like it. Now, again, we don't know what his exact religious participation is in a lot of this, but it's safe to say that this is a man who is intentionally going out there and trying to get those in the Muslim community to come forward and to vote for him. People who wouldn't even vote in their own countries because they don't like elections in their own countries, but they come here and they want to participate in our elections because it's more of a takeover rather than anything else. But here's the problem I have with all of this, right? Everyone's talking about this now. There are a lot of people who make a lot of money in the conservative commentary movements, but the people who make the most money are the people who play it the safest, people who are not so warm welcoming of taking a hot take like this. When I was calling him a communist and I told everyone to look out for him and to be careful that this would be a takeover. In fact, we saw what happened in London and this is what's happening in New York City. They are looking to capture some of the biggest cities in the West. Well, I was one of a very limited amount of people who did speak out on the issue. And well, it's because it's whenever you speak out on these issues, there is a well-funded, well-organized attempt to go after you and try to destroy your character. And that's, you know, what we've had to endure for the last few weeks, last few months now. But here again, I will tell you, I'm very disappointed in the conservative talking heads who are now coming forward and wanting to elaborate on the issue. Now they want to talk about it. Now they want to talk about how this is a takeover of somebody who apparently is sympathetic to terrorists. Why are you now coming forward and saying this? This didn't just happen. There has been tons and tons of sound bites that you could have aired on your shows. You could have done it before the primary. You could have helped stop all of this, but you chose not to because you didn't want to be called a mean name. I mean, that's the reality behind all of this. When you go out there and you make these comments, I have been called Chris Cuomo, calling me fringe. Now, listen, I'm somebody who literally doesn't comment on much when it comes to politics until recently. I only really mainly was focused on sexual assault and crime cases and only got involved in politics because, well, there was a lot to call out there that needed to be called out. And suddenly, because I've become such a, I guess, aggressive person on that front, they call you fringe. They try to alienate you from the movement. They want to silence you. They want to pretend like you're the crazy one. You're not the crazy one for calling it out now. You are the one with the guts who called it out before the rest of these talking heads decided to get involved. And again, I know some people are like, say their names. I don't have to say their names. You know who I'm talking about. You see them on Twitter now giving you sound bites, now making all these spicy clips because they had to wait to see, will people like me survive our attacks, our criticisms? Will be able to have a career afterwards? Well, now that they see that it's safe, that we've all fought back successfully, they're jumping in the fray. These are the same people who rolled up their sleeves and got the COVID jabs because, well, the government told them to do so. So just pay attention to what's going on around the world. Because we got a lot of frauds out there who are pretending to be free-spirited, free-speaking individuals when they really aren't. They follow the money. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to the AlexJonesApp.com. Download the app if you haven't done so already. You get 20% off when you do just that. So use over at the AlexJonesStore.com. But if you haven't done so already, stay in touch with us. Download the app now. We'll be right back with more.
Harris said, Kristen. I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
Are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones picture is on, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Final lap of the Monday edition of the show. We're excited that you are all here with us today. A lot going on
Still a lot of headlines that I haven't even, you know, been able to jump into. So for those of you on the lines, we're going to go with the people who have been waiting on the longest for right now, because we only have about time for about three more callers. So it's going to be Jay Jefferson and Mo Master, or Moo Master, I should say. Sorry about that. So those three we're going to take. I didn't want to waste everyone else's time. I'm apologizing. I'm sorry. We'll take you guys during the week, though, of course. But Jay, let's kick it off with you, because I hear you have something to talk about in regards to blowing up the boats.
Yeah, I say that. See you later. Those drugs are just killing people. I mean, it's, they gotta go. If, you know, you put a gallows in front of like the town square and see people being hung for murder or something, or rape, it'll slow you down. You see people not coming back from boat tours delivering drugs over, you know, across the ocean, they start to think maybe this is a bad idea. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, I totally agree with that. And I think that's the reason why when I first saw the video footage dropping, I was like, oh, that's a great way to deflect and to get these people not to bring the drugs into our country. But, you know, Jay, I mean, I kind of feel like they'd probably utilize, the drug cartels would utilize those who are low on the totem pole, probably people who aren't high level within the cartels. Are you worried about that? And are you worried about maybe what if our intel gets it wrong and these are just people, fishermen, who are just boating in the middle of the ocean?
I don't think the intel is wrong. I think the CIA knows exactly who they're putting on those boats. But, you know, and I'm sorry, you know, I mean, there's going to be casualties in war. This is war.
Yeah.
And as for the food stamps, I this week I went to the Sam's Club there, and I'm a little bit of a carnivore myself. Mm-hmm. I try. But I got a Filipino girlfriend that can cook up a storm, and she kills me.
I remember you told me this last time, I think, right, when you called? Yeah.
Huh?
I think you told us this last time.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, she sent me out with about six different items, and it's all delicious. But anyways, I spent like a lot of money over there, and I said that to my brother. I said, I spent this much money, and he says, when I went there, I spent this much money, which was almost double. And I'm like, but, you know, we both work, and the bottom line is a lot of people, you know, I heard that maybe the Walmarts were going to be closed and you were going to make your order online, which a lot of times I do. I'm a truck driver, so I make my order online and they bring it to me, or I go to the parking lot and they bring it to me. It's not a bad thing. It's I feel bad, but maybe rather than giving money to the people, you know, make them walk for it. And what I mean is send the money to the mosques and the synagogues and the churches and the temples where they smoke the marijuana. And give them a little extra money because they'll be a little hungrier. But basically, let them go to the soup lines, you know? Maybe a lot of people, I know I could use someone to cut my lawn on a regular basis. I had this guy showing up, and he was showing up and when he wanted to show up, and he wasn't doing what I wanted to do half the time. People have to do what they, you know, it's called work. When I was a kid, I was making 75 cents an hour, you know. Now I'm a pretty successful truck driver, and but what I'm getting at is it was not easy getting where I am. And a lot of these trucking companies, they call me all the time, and I don't understand what the hell they're saying. They're, oh, we want you to drive a truck for us. And I'm like, no, you know, I mean, I got a good job, but I keep that Indeed thing, you know, just I've been with the same company over 17 years, and before that I was with a company 7 years, so people need to be trained proper. I used to train people, but it got to a point that I don't have the patience anymore to train anybody.
Yeah.
But I could talk about anything with you people. I appreciate all of the supplements. I take all of them. I mean, I was home this weekend and I forgot my nitrous boost and I forgot my turmeric. I left it. It showed up and I left it at the house. But this is a round trip, so I'll be able to get it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I had enough for today, but those supplements, they're very good. I can tell you that. I know that I felt the tingling at first in my fingers, and I know that I'm never tired, and it's kind of I'm just never really tired. Even when I go to sleep, but I'm never really tired. I got a physical disability called myotonia, and you don't want it. Nobody wants it, but I got it. I think it was from a polio vaccine when I was a kid. It screwed up my chloride pathway from what I'm under the impression. But I think that these supplements have been very helpful for me.
That's great to hear.
And I like the president. I like the president over where he's at in Malaysia and straightening things out.
Yeah. No, he's doing a great job. He truly is.
I think he's doing a good job. You know, these crazy blue-haired people, they're out of their mind. I watched that Elizabeth Warren and some other girl talking about them destroying the White House, and I'm like, these people are crazy. You know, he got the money from suing the television station.
Yeah.
And, you know, shut up. Let him. It's his money. He wants to make an addition in a ballroom. You know, I heard they were going to name it the Monica Lewinsky Ballroom or something.
Oh, man.
I thought that was cute.
Yeah, Jay, I mean, listen, there's a lot going on in the White House, and I think President Trump is doing his best job. I think he's out of everyone in D.C., he's working the hardest. We love to see that happening. So thank you. We love to hear how the supplements are treating you, of course, because that's what we love to do here. We want to make sure that everyone's weeded off Big Pharma and taking health into your hands directly. So these are great things to hear, and I want to thank you for calling into the show. Jefferson in Virginia, I see that you want to talk about denaturalizing Zoran Madani. So welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Yeah, Raw Ag Nationalist was talking about the Russians having an unlimited range nuclear cruise missile. We had that back in the 1960s. It was called the Big Stick, and its exhaust from the nuclear reactor spewed nuclear waste all around the globe if we were to use it. So it was sort of like a thing that we could do, but we knew better than to actually do it. It was so loud, that was a weapon in and of itself. It was supersonic, but we sort of gave up on the idea of it, even though we had the capability back in the 60s. So what the Russians are doing is interesting, but it's not something novel. We had that idea a long time ago. Mm. Denaturalizing someone who got here when they were a communist is something that's already been disallowed under the Immigration and Naturalization Act. So it's not like it's something we can't do. You said earlier, we can't denaturalize them. Of course we can. We probably just don't have the political wherewithal to do it and suffer the consequences of having done it. But we certainly should think about it. Just disappear him. Just say you were never supposed to be a citizen. Send him back to Uganda. Lock him up in our embassy in Uganda if we have to. But he should not be able to become the mayor of New York. That should not be a possibility. It should be something we don't let happen. He's an anarchist and a communist. Those two things are supposed to keep you from becoming a naturalized citizen in the first place. And somehow he's gotten through the system. We should let Rubio do the strong arming here and just get him out of here. That's all I got to say, really, on Zoran Mandami. It's just a mess that we somehow have let ourselves believe that we can get this close to letting an avowed communist be a mayor of a major city in this country, and we can't do anything about it is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, this was my point where you can't do anything about getting rid of his citizenship at this point. It's long gone only because of the fact that President Trump, number one, has come out and said that he does not want to intervene in the election process at all. And we're only a couple of days away from their election taking place now. And that's why I was literally for months now, I've been sounding the alarm on this guy and telling people that we need to focus on the fact that he's a communist, because that would have been the perfect time to get all this done. But now we have people, the talking heads, the politicians coming out and saying, oh, yeah, we should do this moving forward now. I mean, this is long overdue. And so now that we're just so close to it, yeah, you can't really do it now, because then it looks like we're stepping into the election to tip the scales a little bit more towards Cuomo. And so that's the point when I said you can't do this now, is that it's far too late for them to try to weigh in on this. This should have been done a very long time ago. And, you know, I was just asking.
The timing of enforcing a law that's been on the books isn't really the issue. You can choose when to enforce the law. You can give people notice. Look, dude, you really shouldn't even be a candidate. You're not really a citizen in the first place. You're not here legitimately. He knew that a long time ago. What, just because it's near the time of the election being finished doesn't mean you can't enforce the law when you choose to. You just have to have the wherewithal and the willingness to say, I know Trump said he doesn't want to interfere in the election, and that's sort of noble, but it's kind of stupid. It's like dodo bird noble. It's like you just don't recognize how bad things are going to get, and maybe you don't care, or you think there's some sort of political leverage in letting New York become chaotic, and people will see how bad things can get under a communist. But things are bad all around economically. We're $40 trillion in debt almost, and it's just going to get worse. And things are, you know, Trump keeps trying to say he's going to save the economy, but I don't think he actually is. I think he's going to put us in default and try to switch us over to a different system. And this is just sort of symptomatic of letting things go bad while you're saying you're trying to keep things from going into chaotic ruin. But it's just amazing that we're letting this happen when we just don't seem to understand that naturalization is a privilege, not a right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they all seem to think that. So thank you for calling in, Jefferson. I want to thank you for that. Yeah. We'll sit back and wait. We'll see what happens. I'm so tired of people waiting to the very last minute to get involved in all of this. We've known about this for a very long time now. And sadly, this is when they want to pull the trigger on something like that. Let's go to our final caller for now. Moo Master from Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, Brianna, can you hear me okay?
We can. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, President Trump is in Japan, Tokyo, Japan today. And I thought in relation to how you were talking about last week, the cattle and beef prices, that we should also import from Japan some of their beef because they owe the U.S. like over $1 trillion. They own our debt there. And I think that'd be great to have Japanese beef because it's super high quality. You know, right now to get A5 Wagyu in the U.S., it's like $150 a pound. So we can get some Wagyu and Kobe at cheaper prices here. You know, and the grocery store is like a new front for a new like military front and election front, you know, because it was so important in the last election and it's being used now. As a cudgel from the Democrats, you know, having the rise in high grocery prices. And you saw how the eggs came down. And we have to really make sure that grocery prices stay down. So that same strategy that we use, like judo, can't be turned against us in the next election. And I think it's totally doable. You know, we could import from, like I said, Japan beef. Then also Chile has really good beef. And they owe us money, so we could do trade with them. You know, and then the other grocery store item, I don't know if you've noticed, but coffee prices are huge right now. Mm-hmm. They've never been higher. And all those coffee producing countries obviously owe the U.S. money, you know. So I definitely think as President Trump did with the egg, you know, he should do that with meat and coffee and vegetables, you know, regular grocery store products. And since Trump is over there, I was wondering your thoughts on that. And if you've ever tried Japanese Wagyu or Kobe.
Well, I'm glad you asked this question because I do love Japanese Wagyu. It's just so crazy how expensive the pricing is. So I like this idea. I do. I don't know how our American farmers are going to feel about it, but I would say it's a good start. I mean, you know, he's about to meet with the new prime minister in just a little bit. So that would be a good talking point for sure. I like it. It's a good idea. And I love our farmers here in the U.S., obviously, but the prices are just so high that like a little competition might be good. I'd like to see how that like kind of pans out. And, you know, now would be the time. I mean, Japan's on the up, it looks like, so far with their new prime minister. So, you know, we'll see how that all plays out. But I mean, I think that's a great, great place to kind of start with all of this. So yeah, I mean, I would be interested in it, but, Japanese Wagyu is amazing. It's so much better than American Wagyu. It's not even the same arena. It's so good. So if anyone ever has the honor, I wasn't paying that day. So when I tried it, it was great. If you ever have the honor of trying it, definitely you should. It would be great to bring down those prices too, so all Americans could have access to it. I definitely recommend it. Moo Master, thank you for calling in today. Folks, everyone who called in, I appreciate you calling in. Obviously, a lot of callers, a lot of news to keep breaking, so we wanted to keep on going. I wanted to get to clip 14 because this was a big one. This is like a threat, so I want to make sure you all at home saw this one. Kamala Harris is saying it's not over yet, that she might actually make a run for the presidency again. Take a listen.
Stories of your baby nieces, Amara and Leela. When are they going to see a woman in charge in the White House?
In their lifetime, for sure.
Could it be you?
Possibly.
Have you made a decision yet?
No, I have not.
But you say in your book, I'm not done.
That is correct. I am not done. I have lived my entire career a life of service. And it's in my bones. And there are many ways to serve. I've not decided yet what I will do in the future beyond what I am doing right now.
But you've been very clear that it's a possibility you might run again to become president. And in my experience interviewing politicians, when someone says, I'm not done, it means they are thinking seriously about running. But when you look at the bookies' odds, they put you, as an outsider, even behind Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I mean, is that underestimating you?
I think there are all kinds of polls that will tell you a variety of things. I've never listened to polls. If I listened to polls, I would have not run for my first office or my second office. And I certainly wouldn't be sitting here in this interview.
Seems a little triggered, but also doesn't, I don't know, she doesn't look like herself. Her eyes look a little, I don't know, a little strange. But Kamala Harris not completely eliminating a potential run for the White House again. Guess we have to live through that again. Not something ideal, obviously. I know many of us criticize her for not being relatable, but again, that's more like a threat rather than a commitment. We'll just put it like that. I want to turn to clip 15 because, you know, we're talking about politicians that are just not relatable, but are trying their very best to come off as, like you and I. And New York Governor Kathy Hochul is doing the same. She wants you to think that she's like just one of those Buffalo Bills fans that goes around on Sundays and loves to eat wings with her friends. Take a listen to clip 15.
Let's look at the color. First of all, no ranch.
No blue cheese.
I mean, lady, you're not selling it to us. That's probably, okay, it's not as bad as Elizabeth Warren trying to crack open a beer with her husband. That wasn't nearly as bad. But they just are so, so unrelatable. They just try their very best to pretend like they're one of us. And they're robotic, too. Not selling us on the buffalo wings over there. I know she did her very best performance, but hit and a miss. Tawisa. Swing and a miss would have actually been the term. Sorry about that. Don't roast me on the internet. Let's turn to clip 17 because clip 17 is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is now calling out Democrats who are trying to push for gerrymandering in California. And he's not really for it. Take a listen.
As you acknowledged, this all started because of redistricting in Texas. And this was Trump pushing Republican controlled states to throw out their current congressional maps so as to cook the book, so that it is less likely for Democrats to retake control of the House during the next year midterms. I mean, is it fair to argue that do you believe that the Republican Party is starting this?
No, Jake. There has been gerrymandering going on for 200 years. There is such extreme gerrymandering going on that in a state like Massachusetts, that has like 40% of the people voting for Trump, they have zero representatives. The Republican Party has zero representatives sent to the House. Think about that. In New Mexico, if 45% of the people voted for Trump and vote Republican, and zero is sent to the House, zero representative from the Republican Party. So there's gerrymandering, crazy gerrymandering going on all over the country. And we wanted to try to stop it in California, and we did stop it in California, and we went around the country. So I think this whole thing about finger pointing and saying they did it, so therefore we should doing it, that's not really the way to go. The one party should outperform the other party. It should be performance. And when it comes to midterm elections, as you know, always the party that is not in the White House usually wins by 20, 25, 30 seats. So what does 5 seats matter in the first place in Texas? It is crazy. Yeah. They should outperform them. That is where the action is.
Kind of makes sense. I know they don't like that, though. Interesting, though. Interesting perspective on that front. And, you know, given the fact that who the source is on that take, I'd say it's pretty interesting. I'm all on board for Republicans starting to redistrict at this point. I mean, what else do we have to lose at this point? They've added and stacked up so many illegal aliens onto their voter rolls. They've done so as well with the census. Remember when they fought so hard to make sure that you couldn't ask a simple question like, are you a U.S. citizen? They didn't want that. And so right now, Republicans are fighting for their survival. And I would say 100% keep it going. I want to turn to Chicago right now as well, because Chicago has a communist of their own running the city. Mayor Brandon Johnson is somebody who was elected because of low voter turnout in Chicago. And he actually criticized a reporter for using the term illegal alien, which, of course, the term he used to describe someone who broke into this country illegally and has been living here without permission from the government to do just that. That is something that has him really, really fired up. He calls it racist, says it's nasty language, and he's not really a fan of it at all. Take a listen to clip 18 and how fired up this gets the commie mayor.
We don't have illegal aliens.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's from some sort of sci-fi message that you wish you had. Well, listen, the legal term for my people were slaves. You want me to use that term too? So look, let's just get the language right. We're talking about undocumented individuals that are human beings. The last thing that I'm going to do is accept the type of racist, nasty language to describe human beings.
Yeah, if you don't like the term illegal aliens, what term would you use? They always say undocumented person, but that's the way to lighten the blow. The reality is people have come into our country that do not belong here, and they are living here illegally. So, I don't see any wrong with that. They don't like the term, of course, because they're trying to fix the narrative. They are trying to make sure that those who are here illegally are somehow given citizenship and allowed into our country and granted that permission. And I would say probably stay away from that. Stay away from that. You see, this is what happens when you have low voter turnout. Chicago and the rest of the country, they're learning the hard way. It was actually really disappointing to see how much Johnson won just based off people just not showing up. And Chicago's a beautiful city. It's worth saving, of course. Let's fact check a little bit. This one is interesting. Grocery prices are up, but not all the way down, as President Trump has said in the past. When we look at grocery prices, and sadly, it looks like we're going to have to use a CNN article for this one, which, you know, I hate, and I believe this one's also AP. But I'm always kind of shocked. I said this under the Biden administration, so I'll say it here and be fair. I was always shocked when I was hearing the argument that prices are coming down. I see egg prices coming down a little bit, but I have not seen it across the whole spectrum of the grocery store at this point. And it looks like the average grocery prices have actually risen 0.3% from August to September of this year, following a 0.6% from July to August. That's according to the data that they have provided us with on this front. And you heard, we were just talking about coffee prices too with one of the callers. Coffee prices have risen 18.9% and beef is up 14.7%. Now, obviously, President Trump trying to do his very best to get on that and to make sure that we tackle that issue. But there was another article from Zero Hedge today, which I thought was quite interesting. Zero Hedge coming out and saying that 3 out of 10 Americans cannot afford this holiday season, which is really upsetting. And it seems to be affecting Americans more than any other citizens around the world. So, yeah, I would say we're still in a bit of an economic struggle here. And it's one worth discussing. And you know what? Holiday seasons are coming up. And I know all of you at home right now are probably looking for creative ways to save these days. And so I wanted to remind you all, we now have the Fair Bundle bag up right now on the alexjonesstore.com. I have one here. And it's pretty freaking cool, I must say. This bag, and I'm trying to get it in the shot as much as I can. Hold on, let's see. Can I do it? This is how we go. All right, so right now when you guys head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, you could snag this great bag, which is retail price around $720 worth of items in here. But your price for joining us is $199. It's a massive, massive saving. You get the Come and Take It bag, obviously. You get the exclusive Come and Take It t-shirt, as well as the limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, of course. And so many incredible items come in this bag. So head on over to the shop right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and snag it. We appreciate it, too, because it helps us keep it up and running. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for joining us.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!